Welcome everyone to the weekly roasting toast here on doubletoasted.com. I'm sitting up here with my man Gertz. I decided to give it to you first this week so you wouldn't fool me. And I am the lovely Corey Coleman up here, one of your hosts this evening. And also over here, all by his lonesome, Mr. Thomas.
Aww.
Oh, where's your son, man? Has he finally grown up and left the house? Oh, Goodwin's not here. He's watching a movie, so hopefully he'll be here in a little bit. But we'll try to carry on as long as we can because we want him here for one particular thing that's happening. And just to fill you in right now, what's going on? Now, you know that I have a wedding coming up pretty soon, and you also know it's summertime, and there's a lot of blockbusters coming out right now, and one movie in particular, the studios are pushing. They saying, please.
Talk about our movie.
Please.
You said not till July. No, forget what we said.
Fuck what I said. Spread the word. They said, yeah, man,
Preach.
We want everybody to go out there and spread the gospel of these apes, War for the Planet of the Apes. So if we don't
the
get
Book
on it right
Simeon.
Now, what's that?
The Book of Simeon.
Yes, sir. And if we don't jump on it right now, then we're going to kind of be left behind because all the critics are out there raving about this. And a lot of people are saying, Corey, come on, man, y'all slipping. That movie don't come out for a month.
I know.
About 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We ain't slipping. Everybody else just very early. So we're going to go ahead and get that out the way. Plus, I don't know what my schedule is going to be like after this whole wedding thing happens. I don't know. My girl's
it's a wedding thing.
Yeah.
It's,
you know, getting it's, married
it's,
shit.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah. What is that all about? What's up with that?
I do, I guess. Damn.
Yeah, shit. What you want from me? Yeah. You've been together for 5 years. The fuck you want?
I'm still here, ain't I?
Yeah, man. That's why we run a little bit late tonight because she's making me move tables before her parents get here. She tried to make the place perfect. So I had to do some rearranging before I got here. I had to move some stuff. And in addition to the review for War for the Planet of the Apes, we got a trailer that came out, The Return. Somebody gave up on my man, said, where he been? Oh, he's too old now. It's done. That career is through. But Jackie Chan said, I got one more.
Oh,
I got one more ass whooping left in me. And I'd be damned if I wasted.
Is there some bone he hasn't broken?
Yeah, he's just one neck he ain't snapped out there. And the one person he hasn't kicked in the face. And they came out with the Foreigner trailer, and everybody talking about, oh, shit, this is a Jackie Chan we ain't really seen before, at least not in a long time. That Crazy Chan. We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
All right.
Got some news of the week that's happening. Also, we have some announcements, some phone calls, some emails. You know how we do up here. But before,
oh, the contest.
In the contest. That's what I meant by announcements. We got the contest going on, too. But before we go any further, oh, my God. They returned with that cinematic, artistic, independent film, Black and White, Fuck You. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the very artistic backbone of this community. Of course, I'm talking about the one, the only, the Chat. Tat, how y'all doing? What's going on? I got that Black and White Hitchcock Fuck You right there. Oh, what the hell is that? Have you seen my dick? It's Corey Goodwin. Yeah, welcome, y'all. And they already got the gifts going on. Danielle been back just barely a couple of weeks, and she already being quoted. Danielle last night, she just stringing her hair and kicking her feet. She's like, every girl's a lesbian. I was like, okay, that's a broad-ass statement, but sure. She ain't been back but a couple of weeks, and she already fucking up. Somebody told me, they said, man, get your girl. She on the Facebook groups. Now, I was talking shit about the Facebook groups, but I take care of things. And she was on there in the double toasted groups talking about, who got points I can use to fly? I said,
oh, yeah,
you don't
saw that.
Get your shit and get out. Y'all think I'm playing. I told her, I said, Danielle, I love you, but, you know, this is a business. I said, if you do one more thing like this, I ain't got no choice but to let you go. I ain't even paying you.
Why don't you just ask if somebody went to trade points?
No. You don't do that on this right here. You don't. That's like, imagine if you were at a restaurant, a waiter came up and was like, by the way, can I get some points from you, please?
Yeah.
Can I get my tip? You know? Nah, you don't. No, that's a fireable offense. You don't get on here and solicit and ask for money or ask for points, sell ass or whatever. You don't do
that.
Yeah,
she did say she would do anything.
Yeah, no, that's take true. That shit on your own book, on your own Facebook page. You don't do it on mine. I was like, God damn. And then she was like, and I was always, and that's the only reason why she wasn't gone, because I was like, You know what? It's not like you did it to in spite of me. You did it because you just really didn't know. She's like, yeah, I guess that was kind of stupid. What? I'm like, yeah. And I saw a Facebook comment talking about, man, those guys were mistreating her. They always called her stupid and never gave her a chance. Like, she always doing dumb shit. You know what I mean? It ain't us. We, hey!
I'm there assuming we're talking about somebody I know.
Yes, Corey Goodwin.
I apologize.
No, how you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Let me go ahead and straighten out your camera right there. Let me scoot out a little bit. We were missing you, man.
Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Oh, and it's your movie tonight?
No,
it's when we were doing this.
Oh. How long has this been on?
For about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been off a little bit. We just sitting up here shooting the shit, waiting on Mr. Goodwin to come in here.
Apologies.
And look, he's here.
I had a Pakistani guy holding me up.
All right. No, it's all right, man. I figured that. Those Pakistani people, boy.
I know,
yeah,
right?
Damn it.
Jesus.
Yeah, man.
It just can't be India, huh?
Worse than... Oh. But welcome to the show. And they said, and Goodwin appears.
Yep.
There he is. hello. And no, you're just in time. I was just saying hello to the chat and then wishing them some good greetings. And now that you're here, I can go ahead and tell people how to get a hold of us here in the studio. Or if you can't come to the studio, well, you can always. I mean, we'd like to see you in person. But if you really can't make it, then go on and pull out a keyboard and type in for us kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz@gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Now, if you would like to be a part of the show this evening, in that email, put your phone number in there, put your Skype contact in there, press in, bam, up in your home, hollering at you, the only host in the world that do those house calls, on that Instagram at Double Toasted Fan Page, on the Facebook, type in Double Toasted. Would you like some private time with more? Then type in Corey.Coleman.5. But if I'm too busy, if he's not busy spending time with Pakistani people, my man can help you out.
You don't have to worry about that. You can find me on Facebook, Corey Goodwin. You can find me on Twitter or twitch.tv, the high score DT, all one word. You can find me on Instagram, DB Cooper KG, Mr. Gertz.
Yes, sir. You can find me on Facebook, Patrick Gertz, Twitter, Patrick Gertz at P Gertz, and on Instagram at P Gertz, Mr. Thomas.
And I can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoFro, or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook.
Or you can look for all of us up in here if you would come down here and see us in person in the world famous Double Toasted Studios, where apparently it's lunchtime in the cafeteria.
Yeah. Like commissary mail. Yeah.
Email us at kcoolmans@gmail.com. Let us know if you're going to be visiting Austin. You're going to be moving to Austin. It's so cool. Hey, you already live. You didn't tell nobody. Shame on you. Let us know. Come see a show. That's right. Email us kcoolmans@gmail.com. Send me an email. We'll send you back an email. We'll coordinate with each other with some details, and that way we can accommodate you. Really are looking like an elementary class cafeteria in here, man.
Got your ice cream and bananas.
Yeah, my man, I ain't eating bananas and shit. I was joking about this being the Double Toasted after school program, but it really has turned into that. Yeah. Is your child looking for a cold meal? Come on down, because that's all they got.
Pulling a sandwich out of a baggie.
Yeah, these motherfuckers already eating Lunchables and shit, man. Yeah, but that, you know what? I've noticed, TJ, that you don't ever come in here without eating some. You always hungry. Exactly, man. You greedy motherfucker. Look at you coming here all the time and always coming here like it's some, like it's drugs and shit. Always coming with a brown paper bag and shit. And the paper bag is this little, but the bottom is infinite, because you pull out meals. You pull out dinners out of that shit. Yeah. Well, I know you do. I know you, man. Why?
Surprising no one.
I don't mind. I don't mind if you eat, but why y'all gotta eat on my time, man? Snacks and shit. Okay. All right.
10 o'clock. Yeah, I know. It's like, well, it's because I just come from the gym. Like, we had any control over that schedule. Yeah. Don't make me come after the gym. So what you expect?
Exactly. You 16 years old. Never stop eating, man. Jesus Christ.
It's not like the gym is next door. I know there's some time between there and here you could have ate.
No. Come in here eating and farting and shit. I mean, you know, yeah, I see that. I see that. You need your energy to beat up them bums. Exactly. Go on, superhero.
Oh, man. I pray for the bum who asks you for food.
You'll eat him. Yeah. Joseph Compton, good to see you, my friend. Good to see you. And we hope to see all of you. Now, I got a couple of announcements for you. I told you, we're giving away some prizes. And also, how are the videos going for the
two of them are done.
Two of them are done.
The contests are done, and the other one will be done tonight.
All right, so tomorrow we're going to have videos announcing. Well, we already announced it, but we're just going to put it out there in a good presentable format for you. We're going to be putting videos out to tell all the people about the upcoming Double Toasted third year anniversary weekend celebration. And that is going to be August 4th through the 7th. And we're looking forward to hanging with you, because on that weekend, we are going to have the shows, the parties, the games, the lunches, the brunches, the meet and greets. We already have all of our activities kind of figured out. You're doing your video game. What is it? Challenge?
Tournament.
Tournament. There you go. Tournament. Doing it at the pinballs?
That's the plan.
Okay.
See, that's like, y'all fucked up last time. Don't come back. Like, sorry.
Well, you might want to check with them before I haven't announced it yet, but we want to make it solid.
It should be cool.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah.
We'll find out. Worst comes to worst, just chill at my spot and play video games there.
All right. Well, there you go. We got the karaoke with the crew. We have our free taco bar brunch on Sunday, and that's in addition to, of course, the evening events of the shows and the parties and whatnot. So get your ticket now. $25. $25 for the 72 hours of fun. And we're just about to make sure that we get you some deals over there at the Native, where that's the hostel that also, I think, I'm not going to say for sure right now, but I think we will be having our meet and greet on that Friday. So get your ticket. Get your ticket now.
Oh, they're going to have deals for us?
They're going to have deals for the people who are staying there. A discount on the people got the rooms. So we'll try to get that for you and confirm that for you very soon. And you're talking about, okay, that's cool and everything, but I want them prizes, Corey. Well, lucky for you that they got this movie out, Baby Driver, and everybody's feeling really good about it. That 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, they said, man, you know something, man, that don't happen every day. We got to kind of celebrate this. And we want to celebrate it for making the audiences who we are sure who are going to go see this movie making a success. And how could it not be? It's got Edgar Wright from Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and At World's End, I think is what it's called. You know, and Scott Pilgrim.
Of course.
Coming back to America trying to see if he can do it right this time.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But, hey, everybody loves this. But then again, everybody loves Scott Pilgrim too. But, hey, I did. I was sorry that, hey, Felix, I'm going to tell you something, man. And right now, let's go ahead and cut it. All right. Thank you. Before we even get started. Thank you. Can we do that? Yeah, perfect. That's it. That's the Felix I like right there. Yeah, there you go.
Felix will be back.
He's so cute when he's quiet.
He'll be back.
I know. He's sitting in the lunchroom with the rest of you guys right now. But no, what we're doing is we're giving away signed posters signed by the whole crew. And also the soundtrack. And what we're going to do for that is we are going to get four finalists. We already got two. Looking for our third tonight. And we'll get our fourth one tomorrow along with the winners, the last two winners that we need. We're going to be giving away the soundtrack and the poster. And Sammy has been coming up with the questions. And since this is a movie that involves a lot of elements, mainly cars, bank heist, and Edgar Wright, we've already covered the cars. We've already covered the bank heist. Now let's get to an Edgar Wright question. And if you get this, the first one to get this question correct, and email me at kcoolmans@gmail.com, the first one is going to be put in the drawing. I'll look for it, and then I'll announce it at the end of the show. So here's your question right here. Edgar Wright was an executive producer for what British science fiction film starring a future lightsaber wielder with a biblical name? Edgar Wright was an executive producer for what British science fiction film starring a future lightsaber wielding actor with a biblical name? And I have the character has the biblical name, not the actor. I have the answer right here. I see it. So the first one to give me that answer, I will announce it at the end of the show, and you will be put in the drawing for the signed poster. And I think they signed the soundtrack. I'm not sure, but you'll be getting something. So there you go. And if nothing else, even if you don't win, go check out Baby Driver being released tomorrow, June 28th, in theaters everywhere. Wednesday, June 28th. 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Everybody seems to love the movie. You can't go wrong. You're a winner if you just see the film. So let's go ahead and get into the show, because I got something to ask y'all. Because I was about to go off on somebody, and I don't know if it was the right thing. And I really do want people's opinion on this.
Okay.
So this is before we get into the review. If you just got here, we'll be getting into the War for the Planet of the Apes review in a little bit. But I want to I want to, no, I'm not doing coke. I just realized how that looked. But I want to pose a question to people. You guys out there, so I'll put it on the chat over here, but you in the room, yeah, anybody who's even sitting in here can give me some input. So I get out of my car today, and it's not my car. I was driving my girl's car because she used my car to pick up her folks because my car is bigger. Mm-hmm. And the parking lot where we usually park is just empty, space after space after space. Now, we used to have numbers on the parking lot that would tell us our assigned spaces, but those numbers have been washed away a long time ago.
Sure.
Worn off a long time ago.
Sun bleached,
yeah. Weather done took it all off. And so I parked in a spot because it's just, I'm not used to seeing that many cars not there. So I'm probably in that spot for like 2-3 hours. And I come out to the car and I get this note, and it's from my neighbor. And it says, and it's, you know, that kind of fake niceness.
Can you, nigger?
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Please keep your black ass out my spot. You know who you are.
Is there a pictogram of a hangman on it?
No, but she did draw a cross on fire.
Keep your rims out of my spot.
She says, hello. Please do not use this parking space. It is reserved for blah, 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 blah. Thank you. And it has a little exclamation mark at the end. Now, here's the deal. I'm in that spot for like 3 hours, like I said, and all the spaces are open. So she easily could have just parked in the space that's reserved for anybody to park in right next to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But here's the real shit. She's had a couple of evening get togethers where I've seen the cars, like one of her girls parks in that spot, my spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say anything because it's like, all right, you know what? It's not every day that she does it.
Right.
You know, she probably didn't know because didn't see the numbers. And I can walk. Big deal. You know, one night of walking ain't going to hurt me.
Right.
You know, so what? But she's freaking out over this. So if I had time, it's probably a good thing I didn't. Because if I had time,
you're going to rig her car to explode?
They kick her door in. Bitch, what the fuck is this? You can park next to my car. But no, it's that, you know, I was going right on the back of it and just say, hey, I understand you wanting to keep your parking space to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But, smiley face, there was a parking space next to it. And I was only there for a few hours. And I understand you wanted to not let people in your space that you might not know. However, you've seen our car here before several times. And okay.
Were you going right front and back?
TLDR. Thank you. Okay. You're writing, you're writing way too much.
Dwight and Raid? Okay. What should I just put? Fuck you? Yep. Okay.
Okay, listen. It's better to just swallow it when it's your neighbor. Because you don't want to get into a feud with a neighbor.
I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Especially if you're somebody who works and they don't, and they got all day to plot how to fuck up your life and your property.
That's him. Yeah. Yeah. He home all day.
All I want to do is just say, I've seen your people park in my spot before, and I haven't said anything.
Because what do you mean? Your people.
That right there.
Yeah.
That.
But I was going to, because I want her to know, I was like, but if we're going to get this strict about it, then please keep your folks out my shit too.
Don't go to that aggressive.
Maybe, okay.
Maybe if like this person parks in your spot again and you're there, you can go up to your neighbor and say, hey, I think one of your guests parked in my spot. Could you make sure they don't do that? Boom, the girl goes down and moves the car. It'll probably never happen again and you'll always have your spot.
That would be it would never happen again. Or just what you said, hey, I've seen your friends, your guests park in my spot before. It's not a big deal. I apologize. Leave it at that.
Okay. See, that's why I ask y'all, because I'm already about to fuck up this neighborhood.
But I've seen people get territorial about those parking spaces. I don't know what the mentality is. I went to visit my buddy Mike Washburn years ago when he lived in an apartment. I just parked. And then we come out, we're outside talking, a guy pulls up in a white Trans Am, some middle-aged guy who shouldn't have been having a car like that in the first place. And he pulls, he's just there with his engine running. I look over at him, and he's like, you're in my parking space. I'm like, all right, man, well, we're about to finish up. I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
He sits there for a while, and then he goes and he parks somewhere else, goes in his in his house, comes back down in his tidy whities, nothing else, and just stands there waiting for me to finally move. I was like, okay, this means that much to you. I get it. You had a hard day at your shit job, and the only thing you got going for you after the divorce is this parking space.
Yeah, mm. You yeah, should have.
My
you
wife should've. Took everything else yes.
except yeah. this car.
Except this space.
He's living in a space.
Yeah.
That's all he's got. You should have keyed bitch into his car. Yeah. Really ruined his fucking day.
I think you want to do what you want to do. Oh, sorry. Is take what they said, write it on this, tape this to a brick. Hurl that shit.
You know what? If you taped it to a brick, no property damage, but just set it on
the
car.
Damn.
You know what I can do, yeah. but I'm not going to do it this
you know,
time.
You know what this could have been.
Put a picture of OJ on it.
Damn.
Okay, you're going to jail doing yeah. that.
Why is there a glove taped to it, too?
I mean, with a brick, you could say, like, oh, no, I was using it as a paperweight. I didn't want it to fly away.
Yeah.
All right. He's right. That's a good point.
See, y'all would tell me to do some shit like that, and I will.
No, I told you what to do.
Yeah. I told you what to
I
do,
I forgot
too.
Already. I'm still thinking about the brick and the OJ picture. You know, what you say to do?
Just say, just so FYI, when you've had guests over, they've parked in my space before. It wasn't a big deal to me. However, I apologize. I won't let this happen again.
In a calm tone.
Yes.
Okay.
Your tone is going to affect all of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just, but you just, know how my
just,
emails
you just,
are.
You just, yeah. write, you just want to write that.
Okay. All right, then.
Don't you ever.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That's why I asked y'all, man, because I was about to go off. I'm about to lie. Really, I was about this bitch gonna tell talk to you, man. You know me. I just words get to me, man.
I wonder if she was in her condo looking down at you while you were snatching it, looking around like what the fuck.
Because if you saw me
cackling,
like yeah, because she's in, you mean,
recording and posting it on YouTube.
Because really, because I saw it on the car, and I went took it. And if she was looking, she saw my car mouthing like what the fuck. Cause I was really like, fuck, don't talk to me like this. You know me, man.
Man, that'd make a great series of videos. Just sticking those notes like that on people's cars.
Oh, man. Yeah,
that shit just escalates and
Martin,
us
Martin comes out of nowhere with a pie.
It doesn't make sense.
Somebody said, hey, some Skull got the answer. Skull said, I should respond like this.
Oh, yeah.
Bitch, I know you right now, too. You know, because, you know, I think what really got me is that she's one of those neighbors who just does not want to be friendly. Mm-hmm. Like, she smiles, and every time she does, to me, it feels like she forces it. Like, damn, man. I guess you've been through this before. Because he has that thing where it's like, hey. You know, and I'm like, she can't even get the whole word out.
Hey.
I'm like, bitch, fuck you. You know, I'm your neighbor. I'm not forcing you to like be around me. I'm never in your personal space except when I'm parking in it.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
That's what happened. That's why she aggro now.
But no, before that, I've done a lot of nice things to her. You know, I mean, I've been nice. I've been civil. And every time I see it, like, hey, hey. And I'm like, you know, and I got that attitude. Like, I've been here for 20 years. You new to this shit. You know, I got all kind of attitude with this. And I just, you know, and that's the reason why those words sounded worse than probably what they look like on paper to me. Because I saw her attitude coming through it. You know what I mean? And, hello, hi, please don't park in my space. Thanks. You know, bitch, fuck you.
I think a good thing to do is to read it with that voice you think you hear. And then go like, wait, how could this be the opposite of what I think? And reread it again.
All right. I like the brick. You know?
Yeah, I know. The brick is quick.
He's trying to set you up, man. He part of the system. He's trying to throw you in there.
Wait, when you listen to him, go back and look at that GIF again. Look at that while he talks to you.
Yeah. But I'll take your word for it. You know, that's why I asked. I knew you set me straight.
I saw one YouTube comment back to that. It said, Goodwin is the angel on your shoulder and Gertz is the devil on Coleman's.
It really is.
Yeah. That's accurate.
Crack me up.
There's times I almost engaged in something and he was quick to go like, don't do it.
But you got this.
Go kick his ass.
don't you let him know talk what to you
really,
that way.
You know, I'm talking shit, but you want to know what really frustrates me? We're about to move, but you know what really frustrates me with it?
What grinds your gears?
What's that?
Nothing.
No, is that I can't go off.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem being, and seriously, I am. No, I'm sorry. It's two of us. It's two black people in that complex. It's mm-hmm. a gated community. There's two black people in there, and you can't act a fool.
Sure.
You know, you can't, no matter how long
you've
been there.
That's why Obama had
there,
to be calm for 8 years.
Yeah.
All this crazy shit was happening. You know he's pissed off about. He had to keep it cool.
Because, you know, my
name. He wasn't tweeting at midnight.
Yeah. No, I can't act a fool. I'm already getting weird looks from people because my neighbor decided to put up the most liberal sign in the garden that she made. And it's a lot of slogans. Love rules here.
Black Lives Matter.
But at the top. You know, it's a whole thing like love is love. What are the slogans
out
there?
In this house, we believe Black Lives Matter, love is love, blah, 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 blah. Somebody in my neighborhood has that sign, too.
Yeah, but at the top of it, it says Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And everybody in the neighborhood think I put that shit up because it starts out with that.
She's setting you up, man.
Yeah. Because, you know, it starts out with that. So everybody, I don't even see them looking at the sign, looking at them like this Negro here. You know, so I can't do nothing. Mm. You know, so I even if I wanted to, like, go and talk shit to her, I still got to have my hat in hand. I'm sorry I parked in your space, man.
Sure. You might, like, have a whole bunch of people feeling guilty. They'll drop off, like, casseroles on your front step and shit. You'll be good.
No.
There's always going to be one person thinking, like, all I got to do is call the cops and you'll be dead by the time this is over.
And Jesus Christ, Martin, how are your neighbors?
Oh, but you know what? That's the other thing. That neighbor down there, she is a tenant of the woman that hates me anyway. And we had our whole argument over a cat.
Oh.
It's her. It's the woman who hates me over the cat. And she really hated me because I went so back and forth with her on this cat that the police called me. And the police said, you could tell he did not want to be in it. He's like, do you have this woman's cat? And I was like, no, it's my cat. And he's like, fine, that's all I need to know. And you could tell, like, since nothing happened, she was every day, she just scorns me.
She's going to get you.
Oh, no, that woman, every time she walks by, I look at her, and it doesn't help that she doesn't talk to me, because I'm not going to say her name. I'm just going to make up a name. But every time I see her, I'm like, hi, Sally. And she just walks by and doesn't say a fucking word to me, and I just rub it in. And it really makes her mad because a man didn't like me. And because I could see that dude, like when she was there with him, my man didn't like me. He'd be like, yeah, this fucking asshole. And then one day we got to talking and we were cool. So I know he went home. I know he went home and was like, baby, this guy's all awesome. Right. Yeah, what's
you
wrong?
Betrayed me.
Yeah. Maybe you should let him keep that cat.
What? No, she came to my house.
What?
She came to my house and was like, what did you do with her? Give her to me. I love her. And I was like, are we fucking having this conversation in my home? I was like, get the fuck out. You're crazy. I was like, you know, and I'm keeping the cat. I would normally say, hey, have it.
Yeah, it means that much to you.
To be honest, I didn't even like the cat. But I kept that motherfucker just out of spite.
If it means that much to you, I'll keep it.
That shit turned into Kramer versus Kramer. It was just like,
start taking glamour shots across the in the parking lot. Hey.
Yeah, no, I wanted full custody. Ain't no weekend shit.
And what was the cat's name?
Don't even remember.
I do. Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom!
Dr. Doom.
Dr. Yeah. Doom. Yeah. And after I won, I ain't even seen the cat, man.
That's right. You know what? He jumped out of your car one day and...
No, that was an old cat. That was Spooky D.
So your place is really a cat graveyard.
Yeah. Yeah. You just got another one, too.
Yeah, just got another one.
TikTok.
That bitch is dead. But anyway, people, I'll take your advice. I'm gonna bring peace to the neighborhood. I'm not going to act a fool. And we'll get it settled. You know, hopefully things will be fine.
Good luck. I hope I don't read about you on the news.
Yeah, I know. That's what I like the way Joseph complains. He's like, that's why we don't like niggas in our neighborhood anyway. Always causing trouble.
Now,
why?
Cats we like.
Yeah. Oh, Joseph, good to see you, my friend.
That's a while.
He's like, good to see you, but not in my neighborhood. Hey, look. Hey, let's go ahead and get into it. Let's talk about a movie that has been getting a lot of attention. so much positive attention that the studios, normally they put an embargo on a movie and they'd say, you know, everybody, well, look, just don't say nothing until the next, you know, the last 48 hours. I know y'all gonna talk shit and yeah, we can't please everybody. So just, if y'all can just hang low, we'll let you talk shit in due time. But War for the Planet of the Apes, critics are out there raving about this movie so much. 20th Century Fox said, you know what?
Go ahead.
Oh, y'all, go ahead, talk all the shit you want to, because it's going to be good shit. That's how much we believe in this movie. They just opened up the doors and said, run free. Spread the gospel of Caesar. Let them know that this is probably one, and this movie is being, it's being touted as one of the best movies. Seriously, not by one or two people, by several people as, wow, this is one of the best movies of the decade. You know, maybe people exaggerating a little bit. We'll see how Martin feels about it. Hey, we'll see how I feel about it. And you know something? Y'all know I love the last two movies. I think even like the first movie better than I did.
Oh, that first movie, I love it.
Oh, that first movie. And you and I disagreed on the second one.
Sure.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes, but I love that movie. And
second one's Dawn.
Second one's Dawn.
Yeah.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Counterintuitive.
And with this one here.
You're right.
Yeah. But this right here, you know, everybody's looking forward to this because they said, all right, you know what? We knew this day was coming. Yeah. Two movies. Caesar has been cool with people. Caesar has been telling these humans, like, look, I ain't got no beef with y'all. I'm just trying to take care of my eight peoples. I'm just trying to find a home. I'm not fucking with you. I moved out your neighborhood. I don't bother y'all.
See, if you did that, your neighbor wouldn't be mad at you.
Yeah, exactly.
No more.
Yeah.
Humans keep taking my parking spot.
Yeah. But I ain't got no beef with y'all right now. But y'all just keep fucking with me. And in that last movie, Caesar said, look, he even tried to help the humans. He's like, look, I'm trying to show y'all peace, brother. You know, I got you. He's helping y'all, giving y'all supplies, medical attention, sending you on your way. Now leave me the fuck alone. But one person had to call a military strike on them, and the military showed up. And that's when Caesar said, you know what? I might have yelled one time. I didn't even get mad. I held back. But now you done made me mad. You want a war? Then God damn it, that's exactly what you're going to get from me. And with this, that's exactly what we're getting here. The humans fighting the apes. And we are at the point now where it is such a struggle that they're fighting not only for the planet, but for the survival of these species. And with this movie here, you know, I always say, leave the classics alone. You know, Lee, if something is so iconic in its idea and its visuals and it's so original and its premise, you probably don't want to mess with it. And that's what people really consider the first series of the Planet of the Apes to be.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
Like, you done fucked up now.
How dare you?
Yeah, he's like, wow, I'm cool with you, but these other people will whoop your ass right now. I can't hold all these apes back. That's Charlton Heston in the 1968 original, the one that started it all. And Fox said, you know something, sometimes these properties, even if they're classic, they're just too good to sit on. It is just too valuable. It's just too much money to be made.
Mm-hmm. And we made a lot of money with these back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
What if we did that again?
Oh, yeah. Ask how that worked out for Tim Burton back in 2001.
Woo. For that Michael Jackson ape.
Yeah.
Oh, oh my God.
Yeah, there she is right there. Yeah, that ain't MJ looking back right there. That's an ape. And that movie is considered an atrocity because exactly.
Was that the first Mark Wahlberg as a scientist?
That's
movie?
The one that when they first slipped up, they like, really, Mark Wahlberg in space?
Planet full of apes.
Yeah. If you're going to send him to the Planet of the Apes, he belongs there. He's right at home. That ain't a movie. That's a reality TV show. But I tell you, I love Mark Wahlberg, but he ain't no fucking astronaut. He ain't no scientist.
Or literary professor.
A literary professor. Stop forcing this shit on us, all right?
High school science teacher.
Or inventor.
Or inventor. Now, if you want to send him into space, that's one thing. Yeah. But
sure.
He ain't no
Once
astronaut.
You run out of chimps, sure, why not?
Yeah. But the thing is that even with them trying in 2001, you can't blame them. Because a lot of people talk about the Spielberg era and the blockbuster era. Mm-hmm. Like, those are synonymous, and those that's exactly when it started. There are a lot of blockbusters throughout time. But when you think about it, with the marketing and the merchandising and that blockbuster feel and the property going off and all kind of spinoffs and other IPs, Planet of the Apes was really one of the first big blockbuster franchises out there.
Well, plus, what I remember mostly was before there was any such thing as a cable TV, on regular TV, there'd be some channel that would have 8 week, where every day after the time you got off of school, they'd be showing one of the Planet of the Apes movies.
And
do one every day, all week long.
It'd be a different one.
And it was like Shark Week, where everybody waited for it. It was an event.
Yeah, it was Ape Week. And around all that, tons of merchandise. They had Planet of the Apes. You see some new stuff in there, but most of these things that you see here that we're looking at, most of these are from back in the day. Planet of the Apes lunchboxes, posters, toys, action figures, play sets. This is before Star Wars out there. This is a lot of people overlook the merchandise and juggernaut that this property was. They even had a TV show, and they also had a Planet of the Apes cartoon.
Children, never forget, the free ape is he who does not fear to go to the end of his thought.
Followed by Get Out, the animated series.
Hey, what up, brother?
My man got that OJ red sweat on.
Oh, no. He got the OJ fro, too.
Got that OJ fro. That might be OJ. OJ in Planet of the Apes.
Why they using that Johnny Quest animation where nothing else moves besides their eyes and mouth?
Oh, you want to know how bad the animation was? They use the same at Shameless. They use the same animation and the same scenes. Like, look at this right here. Like, look at that chick. Wait a minute. That chick, she goes to the back,
rotoscope.
And she runs out again.
Oh,
that man puts on a wig and comes back out.
Was this Hanna-Barbera or Filmation?
I think it was Filmation. It might have been Hanna-Barbera, though, but I'm not sure.
But yeah, you know what? It's one of these things where, like, you laugh at the animation, but it was because they were trying so hard to not shift their stuff overseas. They wanted Americans to work on it.
Yeah.
And that was the only way it was affordable.
But a lot of people even said that cartoon, that was some good writing. Because
it was like the Star Trek cartoon.
Yeah.
Where the animation wasn't great, but the writing, that's what he made up for it.
Exactly. No, it was something where the writing was so good because it was hard to get around how deep these themes were with this. And that's the thing with the Planet of the Apes 2001. You approach this as a science fiction film, and a lot of people would think, man, you know something? This is great for summer blockbuster action science fiction fare. And that's what they reduce it down to. And that's why they made such a big mistake with that 2001 Planet of the Apes. Because the whole thing is deeper than that. You can't do this series justice if you don't approach the themes that are so deep-rooted, those deep themes that are so deep-rooted that started with the 1968 original.
Planet of the Apes.
World gone insane. An upside-down civilization that could not be real. Yes, a world of madness and terror.
Oh, throwing shit at him.
Hawk can't be that bad. He got on Kanye line.
Planet of the Kanye. But, you couldn't get away from that. And that's why, even no matter how many movies they made, how many spinoffs, no matter how popular the franchise got with all of these, I mean, it was 5 movies total, I believe, with a TV show and a cartoon. Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, Battle for the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes. No matter how crazy it got, it was always a deep theme going on with that. And that's why these series of movies work, the work that we have right now. This new Planet of the Apes, because they got back to going in and telling some really rich storytelling, which started with the first one. And the thing that I love with this, man, is that this is the first thing I noticed with this is that, if you're a big fan of this, then it's a rewarding experience because you've grown with Caesar. You've been with Caesar since he was a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of people forget, like when we first saw Caesar, Caesar was, he was an infant, orphaned infant. And throughout time, we have grown with Caesar now. You know, with Caesar, we have gotten to the point where we've seen Caesar grow so much that we're so invested in this. And in the movie it doesn't let you down on that. And the things that they do here, they don't try to go in and this is what I really love about it. They don't try to recreate this. You know, they expand on the themes that we've seen before. They don't try to go in and make the mistake of creating some of the iconic scenes that we've seen before. It's a huge mistake to try to go in and capture that moment, that strong, legendary visual moment of Charlton Heston right next to that Statue of Liberty.
You blew it up! Damn you! God damn you all to hell!
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly.
What's your problem? God damn, man. How'd you get acting jobs? But
she's looking like, well, that's been there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's normal.
She's like, that? Oh, we walk past this shit every day. Shit, I took a piss behind that yesterday. What are you talking about? And which is, you've seen people try to do. Like we said, in that 2001.
Oh, they tried.
Wait, man.
You just get chills thinking about how bad that was.
It was like, you can't recreate that moment. Tim Burton said, but I can try. And he said, no, listen, listen to what I'm saying. See, in the original, you had the Statue of Liberty. What I got Abraham Lincoln up in my head. Mark Wahlberg walks up to it and realizes like he's on a Planet of the Apes version of Earth. All because of the Lincoln Memorial right there. And it's like, people like, wow, you really did that. You really thought that you were going you thought you were going
to
do that.
I had to do something.
Not that. Anything but that.
No. That's the thing. They don't go in and they don't try to recreate that. As I said, you know, this is something where they bring in, the first thing you know is they bring in that character development. And it's important to see that because the character development is what set up this series apart from everything else. They didn't try to recreate a Charlton Heston. They went in and started with the ape's point of view. A lot of people don't realize that from the very beginning, it wasn't James Franco. It was Caesar's story.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it continued to be Caesar's story. And having that different point of view has really helped this. And being somebody who's really invested in this, this has been an amazingly rewarding experience seeing Caesar grow into what he is right now. I feel like old black man, like, hey, shit, he leading revolts and shit.
I knew that boy back when he was.
I knew that boy. He's still shitting in a cage. Caesar ain't shit to me. Fuck Caesar.
Let him come around here.
Yeah. Talk some shit to me. Caesar ain't a goddamn thing to me.
I'll whip his monkey ass.
But, you know, with this, this is something where it's even with the things that they do try to pay homage to. It's an homage where it's not heavy. It's not dependent on you watching any of the other movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's something where they go in and they do it all in the service of telling a story. One of the things I was really impressed with was how they did have some characters return, but they didn't do it just to say, hey, remember her? Nova from the first movie. What's that chick's name? Linda Harrison?
Yeah.
Linda Harrison played, if you remember the original Planet of the Apes, the humans were the ones who were the animals and the apes were the smart ones.
Mm-hmm.
And Nova was one of the animalistic type of humans, although she can make a sex ass bikini. I don't know what monkey was that, Taylor, but they had her looking hot, shaved her legs, shaved her crotch. But in this one, they changed Nova to be a little girl. And that's the thing about it. If you know the movie, you don't have to, you know, you don't, it doesn't hit you heavy with, hey, remember this right here. Even when they give the girl, the new Nova, her name, Nova's a little girl in this movie. And they show you how she's named in the film. And it's not a big old thing of like, remember, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, back to the last one. No, it's like all of this is part of the story. All of this is part of the character. You were nodding your head a little early and you were kind of giving me an expression of like, you know, this movie ain't that damn good. How do you feel about it?
I'm
What's up?
It ain't one of the best movies of the decade, is what I'm saying. When you said that, I was like, "That's okay. Slow your roll a little bit."
Okay.
I do think it's very good. It's one of the best of this new series. I still think I'm always going to be more in love with the very first one because it so caught me off guard. And it's that kind of personal story that I like. Mm-hmm. And I love that they took a direction that was so completely different from the old original Planet of the Apes movies and pulled us in from there. When we get to the next two, this being one of them, it is a little bit more like the old ones. It kind of reminded me of more the fifth movie than anything. Now, that being said, I think he did an excellent job with this. Like with the second one where I was so about it, like I didn't care for the humans. Here, everything was a lot more fleshed out, especially like with Woody Harrelson's character, who I thought would be kind of a cartoon. He just reminded me of some character that would be on the Spawn animated series. Look at the trailer. In the actual movie, once they spend time with him and he talks, I'm like, you know what? I see his motivation. I get it. He's not just, you know, he's not just bloodthirsty. He's got a reason why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
And him and Caesar actually have a good talk somewhere in there.
Yeah. How you feel about this, man?
Well, one of my favorite things about it, I'm glad you brought it up, is that with the first one, it seemed like they spent a lot of time with the humans, even though it is still Caesar's story. And then the second one, they kind of evened it out with half apes, half human. With this one, it's majority apes, and you get bits and pieces of human. And I feel like that's the formula they should have been with in the beginning, because I feel like they've with the apes in this, you get to spend more time with them, you get to learn more about their culture, you get to learn more about just their everyday lives, and being like, yo, we just want peace, like we just out here hanging in trees and eating bananas and shit, like you won't let us chill.
That's racist, by the way.
Okay.
Not every ape likes bananas, man.
Oh, I apologize. Fruits. But yeah, it's the thing about this is that you get to spend a lot more time with the apes, and that's what I always wanted from all of these movies, including the original ones. It's like, alright, I want to know more about how this society is going, because I already know how humans can be either good or bad, or in the last case with what's the name, Jason Clarke being damn near human Jesus in that.
Right.
It was nice seeing that. All right, we're down to there aren't really many archetypes in here, and these people actually and these apes are fleshed out characters, not just one dimensional characters.
You know something? The thing that I'm really impressed with this though is that we've seen a lot of movies this summer, a lot of them part of big franchises, and they always feel like, you know something, we can't be a blockbuster unless we really emphasize the effects, unless we actually emphasize star power, CG characters, and all of that takes place over the story. And it's almost like people said you can't have a blockbuster because it's too risky if you try to put story over everything else.
It's like it said, well, if you spend all this money on these effects, you got to let everybody know you spent money on effects.
Yeah, if they play you like you're stupid. And this is one that – no, they really do. It's amazing how everybody's scared to take that risk because everybody feels like nobody's interested in the story anymore. And this movie right here proves that not only can a blockbuster tell a story, but it can tell it maturely while still giving thrills and still giving action to that mainstream audience that wants to see it. Now, you know, one of the things that I want you to see here is that, you know, we're talking about how the characters are the strongest thing in the movie. And the characters really are, because the characters are the things that help to serve a very emotional story. And they do that while also not being heavy-handed and playing you like you're dumb. I want to set up, it's a little bit of a long scene, but I want people to see this. Because this is something that makes me hate all the movies that I've seen this summer that are really bad. In this scene right here, this is where Caesar and his sidekick Maurice go in and they find Nova, the little girl. And when they do find her, Caesar says, we ain't taking this chick with us. Leave that, you know, almost like a stray animal. Leave that shit where you found it. Mm-hmm. We on a mission right now. You know, we got shit to do. But Maurice, kind of a softy, he can't help but take her. Now, I'm setting this up for the people listening because you can't see a lot of things that are happening because a lot of it's done without dialogue. But there's one important thing that happens here that really made me love this movie and appreciate it so much. And I'll describe that point when we get to it.
She has no one else. take her, Maurice.
He's like, I ain't passing up this white girl. You crazy? Now, the reason why that's so important is because...
Caesar looked like you right there.
I know.
Told you.
Goddamn shame. But, you know, the reason why this is important is because you heard, for those of you who are listening again, Caesar says, we can't take her. And Maurice says, I can't leave her. She'll die if we leave her here. And next cut is them riding on the beach, and Maurice has the girl on his back. And that's humorous. People laughed, and people thought it was cute, but they didn't have to. Any other movie would have played it to where Caesar would have rolled his eyes. You know, would have had some music. Wah, wah, you know, you know, Maurice would have been like, you know, doing that monkey laugh. You know, they didn't do that here. All of this, it just took a glance. You saw how Caesar was dissatisfied with what Maurice did, and Maurice just gave sort of just a glance. This movie does a lot of that, where they glance at each other, and the message is there, and they don't have to lay anything on thick. And people saw the humor in that. They gave you the information you needed for that scene, and you were smart enough to take it and find the humor in it. They didn't have to do anything cute. And that's one of the things.
No monkey shines.
Shut the hell up. I'm looking at you now. I'm looking at you like Caesar. Really, mother Negro, really? You're going to do that shit. Put that joke back. We cannot take it. But, you know, and I love it. And, you know, a lot of times the characters talk with their eyes like that. Maurice kind of bugged me a little bit because his nostrils are like two assholes on his face.
I know, right?
I'm sorry. Did that not distract you, man?
No, it did.
It did not distract me.
Oh, really? I was like,
that's an animal. All right, that's cool.
You're
seeing anuses on a gorilla, on orangutans.
Okay, weird. Put it back up there.
Yeah.
Tell me you don't see that.
Yeah.
Their nostrils, man. Do you not watch the Discovery Channel and Animal Planet?
There are two sphincters on this.
Like I'm some kind of nerd.
He's even looking at you, Corey. Like you know my face with like a couple of assholes. Now come on,
Maurice. I'm riding with you, man. Maurice, you're one of the dopest characters in cinematic history right now.
But it gives you everything you need right there. Meanwhile, Transformers like, look at me, you dumb motherfuckers.
I'm Nitro's. Yes.
Watch me dance. Ain't I funny? You know, it's a lot of things where they just don't respect the audience, and this movie did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you see this?
Yeah, there was this movie. At no point I ever felt like my intelligence was being insulted, because everything that they did, they were like, listen, we know you get this, like, you're smart enough to understand what's going on, and even if you don't, like, if you bring a kid to this, they'll be able to understand it, because it's all just social cues. Even if you don't, if they're not signing or if they're not speaking, you just get like a stern look from somebody, like, all right, I know I'm in trouble, or like a look of disgust like he just had with Noble right there. You're like, all right, he does not want her here at all.
Yeah, exactly. And you know something, it's again, all this works because it's on an emotional level. This is really one of the most emotional movies that I've seen, and it has to do with the tech in this. I mean, this is probably the most impressive cinematic display of technology that I've seen in years.
Yeah, the range of emotions that they convey on all these different apes, it's mind-blowing because it doesn't call attention to itself. I would just watch it and at times go, wait, actually none of this is real. This is all in the computer. I can't even believe I'm seeing this.
Yeah, and see, that's the... And I'm looking at... It's a woman that actually plays Maurice right there, but of course, everybody knows that Andy Serkis is the one that plays Caesar. Mm-hmm. And the
she looks like she belongs on the Death Star.
I know. You know, when I look at this, it's special effects, but it's special effects that not only have to act for the majority of the movie, but they have to carry a movie like they are human beings. It's like watching... This is essentially an animated film. It's an animated film that has to come across like it's not one. It's an animated film that has to be set in reality.
Well, because they are constantly interacting with people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one thing that the Transformers don't really do. They might be on the screen at the same time, but they're not really interacting with anybody.
Or they have to interact with themselves. And it can't be done if you don't believe these characters. You know, the irony here is that I mean, you can almost make an analogy to the movie, because in the movie, it's the apes that are evolving, and either the humans are devolving or just standing still. And it's the same way with this technology. These apes are more advanced than anything they're doing with human beings in this movie. I mean, these apes are real. Meanwhile, over in Rogue One, General Tarkin looking like something out of PS4. He looking like a cutscene. And
well, it also helps. I mean, it helps that we don't see apes on a regular basis, and it's easy for our brains to buy that.
Yeah, you're opposed to the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah. But my argument for that is that it's
damn, dude, I know you love this movie, but
allow me to retort.
But it's not the Jesus Christ of movies.
It is. It, you know, the thing, because with this, the reason why you believe it goes back to the eyes. They still can't get that the way the eyes just dilate and move around and dance around when somebody talks. I was watching the eyes on this, and this movie is very confident about being very confident in the technology, because a lot of this is done through not just since these apes talk through sign language, a lot of it's not done through dialogue. There's very few apes that talk. A lot of it's done through sign language, and a lot of it's done through body language, and a lot of it is just done conveying messages by having the camera extremely close on characters.
I've read that there are a ton of close-ups.
Did you read that?
Oh, yeah. They made a point to really focus in on the face.
Well, they took an extra year to work on the tech. Like, this was supposed to come out last year, so they stepped their game up and make sure you're going to see this shit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a point where those two asshole nostrils, they're like almost breathing fog on the camera because they stay up close in these humans, we got it. And there's still emotional scenes with these human actors, but for these apes, those eyes look like real eyes, and once you get that down, you sell the whole package. And I was amazed with this, man. I see a lot of movies with a lot of just human actors and human dramas where they don't catch the emotional level of a movie like this. And I, you know, when I look at this, it's not just that the special effects and the eyes that sell it, but the Academy needs to rethink this whole thing on doing motion capture. I know real actors are going to get mad about it, but what they did with this motion capture, again, is better than what some actors do that have won some awards.
Sure.
And another reason why this is that works on the emotional level is because it always, no matter how how goofy the movie gets, how funny it gets, it always has a serious anchor down somewhere.
Yeah, it. I mean, because there is a point early on where I thought, man, is this just going to be an emotional downer the whole way?
Yeah.
But then they have the little one, Bad Ape, come in, voiced by Steve Zahn, and he injects just enough humor. I mean, there is such a serious situation. You don't want to have it be too goofy, but he's just funny enough to just leave it some.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all was picking on my man in the trailer.
Yeah, we were.
I was like, man, why y'all doing this? I was like, nah, he whack. I was like, come on.
I never said that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
God looking, Dobby house elf looking. I was like, damn, dude.
Well, he did kind of look like that, but I don't remember saying that. If I did, I'm sorry.
I was sitting in the theater eating my words, and I was thinking, yeah, he was right there with me.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm sorry. I'll put that chimp hound head to your ass.
They all be bites it.
because I have nothing but respect for my man Dobby. I mean, Bad Ape.
Put some respect on it.
And the thing is that it's really, Bad Ape scenes work because, well, for one, it's his character, which I'll tell you about in a little bit, but also because Caesar, and every scene he's in, no matter how much they play the humor up, Caesar's like, look, ain't nothing funny about this shit, all right? Yeah.
We know what's on the back burner.
Look, you know, quit fucking around. You going to help us or not? Because I ain't got time for this silly shit. And every time you get ready to laugh, they put it on Caesar. Like, okay, this ain't funny. All right, I'm serious. But the other thing is that there's just a tragedy to Bad Ape that no matter how much you laugh, that remains in the back of your head when you see him. And Steve Zahn, this is probably the best performance of he's done a lot of things, but
oh, come on, better than his Wimpy Kid movies? Are you sure you want to? You sure you want to plant your flag on that hill?
When he was Greg's dad, that's the only one let pass. But Bad Ape, I shouldn't say probably the best of his career because I haven't seen a lot to say, but it's an amazing performance.
How long have you been here?
Long time.
Thank you.
home.
Are there more like you? More apes from zoo?
Dead. All dead. Long time. Human gets sick. Ape gets smart. Then human kill ape. But not me. I run.
You learn to speak.
Listen, human. Bad ape. Bad ape. No touch. That's mine.
And you laugh, but then at the same time,
there's so much pain and sadness behind his eyes. He's like, he's so cute, but you're like, man, if I adopted him, his PSD would kick in. I mean, PTSD would kick in, and he'd tear up my house.
Yeah, you know, he'd rip your nuts off. Yeah.
They in his sleep, in some nightmare.
They find him eating your face somewhere. You know, it's such a sadness behind his character that even when you laugh, you feel bad. It's mm-hmm. like, man, this motherfucker's suffering. I shouldn't be laughing
at
this.
Yeah, it's like the part when they show it right there when she's picking up a bowl or that metal thing or whatever, and he puts it back down. He's like, that's mine. You're like, man, that's funny, but I feel so bad for him.
Yeah. It leaves it anchored in an emotional state that keeps you invested in the film. And that's what I mean. They play it up for laughs just a second. The movie almost fucks with you. It's like, man, ain't that funny? Like, yeah, it's fucked up, isn't it?
Like, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Shit.
Laughing at this ape's pain and misery, PTSD. Shame on you. Sorry. You know, it's if you, I guarantee people, if you really are into this series, or if you are a person who is easily moved by effective films, you're going to cry in this.
Multiple times.
Oh, yeah, man. Man, I'm gonna tell you something. That I challenge anybody. Look, I ain't saying you got to be in there. You know, I challenge you not to have just a couple of sniffs, because there's a death in this movie, and I was already being moved by the film. But there was a dude who was next to me, and he gave a sniff.
Yo.
And then once I heard him give a sniff, I was like, okay, it's cool for me to do it. And then when we both start sniffing and kind of sense that it was okay to it's okay for man to cry, then you should have heard it. And I was, man, I couldn't hold back, and I had a tear streaming down my face.
That was a good chunk of the audience, because I just hear like,
oh yeah,
the sniff was like DVD. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, and the reason why I knew it was okay, because I knew the dude was crying, because he was wearing glasses, so he had to like put his head down, lift that shit up. You know, so I was crying, and my girl asked me to go see it, because she said, man, because I went home bragging about it to her, and she's like, you gotta take me to see this. I can take you to see this shit, so you see me crying in front of you.
That again.
Yeah. Crying in front of you so you can use this shit against me when I get home. No, hell no. Fuck,
crying
you
at the Fick Monkeys, baby.
Yeah, crying Monkeys, baby. Be a man, baby.
And she does say that. She's like, I went to see the monkey movie. And I got mad, because usually I say that too, monkey movie. When I went home,
they ain't monkeys.
Yeah, I said, hey, god damn it, you respect this shit.
They're suffering.
It was amazing the way they were able to move people emotionally in the film without being false with it, without being cheap. Nothing in the movie is done for the cheap. And
one thing.
Well, you know what? Let me see if we can get to that, because maybe it's the same thing we're thinking of. Because
I'm almost guarantee it's not.
Okay. Because I tell you, the thing that really moving me in the movie was how the apes interacted with each other. Because when I say with each other, they show love, they show dedication, they show loyalty. But when they start betraying each other, when they start like having, and it's painful, because
it is.
They're at a point. There's a lot of subtext here where it's like Caesar does not want to do this. He's fought for these apes so hard. Mm-hmm. Like when there's some really down and dirty shit that goes on with them, it's not a scene that you cheer for. You like, damn, man, that's rough. He had to do that. And and you can see the other apes be conflicted while saying, man, you know, look, we just trying to get by. We just want to live. Mm-hmm. You cool and everything, Caesar, but this whole thing you do, we don't know if you're going to win. And
it also shows just how tough it is being the leader of any kind of tribe or just a king, where you're trying so hard to make the best decision. It's compromises you got to make. You got to think long term. But then you got your subjects going like, we need to do this right now. If you're not ready to do it, then we're going to walk. We're going to go with this other guy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, y'all don't see what I'm trying to do.
This movie is probably one of the best examples of, was it the proverb, heavy is the head that wears the crown?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You see, like, the struggle that this ape is going through. Like, you're confused with calling him a man. This ape is going through.
Yeah. And then, and that's why I think, I'm just going to say it right now. I think that this is the most... I think this it's up there, like in my top five of best trilogies ever made.
Bitch, it's number one.
You know what?
This is number one.
I don't want to say anything, but let me just hold back. Because let me.
Yes. This is better than Toy Story, the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I don't know what else is out there that's up there.
And let me tell you why. Because Caesar's story works in three stages. We were telling you how the movie is about Caesar. And because it's about Caesar, that's the reason why. You can watch any of these movies alone. You know, you start out with Caesar as an orphan child, the beginning of him as a ruler. You have Caesar coming into conflict with his own kind in the second one. And now this is the one where he actually meets his biggest challenge of having to turn against some of his people and also having to have most of his people finally turn against him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's each one of these movies, they work better if they're seen together, but they work by themselves. And this one right here is probably because this is his biggest challenge. This is, to me, probably the best out of all of it. And, you know, we're sitting up here talking about character. We're sitting up here talking about, you know, the technology. But really, there's everything. When you pull the characters out, when you pull all the action out of it and whatnot, everything works in service of the story. I mean, right down to things like the cinematography. I loved how, and this is what I loved about the second one, how this is their planet now. Mm-hmm. The cinematography is beautiful, shot in Vancouver, but they also have these scenes now where these apes, you know, they interact with these action scenes. They interact with these backgrounds and these in this environment in really creative ways. The score, which is by, and I have his name written down here, Michael Giacchino.
Oh, yeah.
What's that? Fuck you. No, I'm serious, man. I'm joking. Who's doing, if you look at his roster.
He does a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he does. He does a lot of stuff. But if you look at his roster, he did the Book of Henry. But, you know, he's got Spider-Man. God damn, he's done every movie that's coming out right now. Yeah.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
He won the Oscar for Up for the score for that.
They got a new Grinch coming out next year?
Yeah, but you know, with this right here, this is something where the score, it stands out because it works with their world.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the thing is with the score, it was good, but there were some points where they kind of ratcheted the music up a little bit too much. So it was like, duh, duh, and I was like, all right, y'all can kind of maybe pull this back just a little bit. Like, there's only two complaints I would have about this movie, and that was one of them. Like, for majority of the time, 98% of the time, the music felt right, but there was that 2% where they kind of swelled it up a little bit too much to draw the play on the emotions of the audience.
I never saw that. But then again, I was swept up in the film. So, you know, what's the thing?
You're crying too loud.
Yeah, I was. I didn't hear you. what is it that you saw in the movie that you thought was kind of shallow?
It's something that you praised earlier that I very much disagree with. And it was that bit of fan service with Nova. That whole thing of making a point of like, you're Nova. Huh? And I was like... That was like, that doesn't really serve anything other than to a giant wink and a nod to people who knew Nova from the original movie.
I mean, for somebody that hasn't seen the original one, I've seen bits and pieces of it, so I know the full thing because it came on TBS all the damn time. Like, I know Nova exists and I know of the character, but like seeing it in there, it didn't really bother me. Like, if I didn't know about Nova at all, I'd be like, all right, there's just some new character named Nova, and they got an interesting way to name her Nova. But I understand if somebody's a big fan of it, they're like, wow, that was for me.
Yeah, exactly. And see,
I didn't need that. I was, and plus when they did it once, and I was like, oh, okay. But then when they went back to it again, I was like, all right.
Didn't bother me at all. That's funny that it bothers you, because the thing that bothered me in the first Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, was that
it's a madhouse.
Yeah, it's a madhouse, and they were playing with the Statue of Liberty. And I thought the reason why that bothered me is because that was just for show. That really was. Remember this, like Corey said, and the reason why I said that this works is because it works for the story. That's right.
But it doesn't.
But you know what? No, it does, because that is a scene. If it was done just to show that little name right there, that'd be one thing. But that's an emotional scene right there. That's a moment that they're sharing with each other. That is where he's teaching her her name, but he's also teaching her sign language, too. If he just popped that nope up there and be like, hey, everybody, remember this chick? Then that'd be one thing. but it was a scene. It was an actual scene.
I think Martin's point is, and forgive me if I'm wrong here.
You ain't seen this shit.
But the name didn't have to be Nova. The name could have been anything and still be him teaching sign language.
But I think that having a character in there, like this girl, who served another purpose where she can't talk, and that's showing you how humans are
evolving. I got a problem with the character.
Well, you know, that's fine. And, you know, like you said, it's something that doesn't stand out. But, hey, that's you. You know?
I got one problem with the character for Nova, and this is my second complaint, is that she has a weird reaction to one thing, and it's not comparable to what she has later in the movie. And they showed that reaction in a little clip you just showed right here, where she walks outside and sees a dead body. I was like, all right, she's going to maybe cry or something. Yeah, I'm all right, and keep it moving. But then later in the movie, she's like, all right. So that's a little weird. I was like, all right, this character, when it cried the sight of her possible father's death, but will cry about something else.
She was in shock.
Boy, you got it. No matter what we say, you got an excuse for it.
Yeah, you know, she's. That's not easy to like. Really, you know, that's
Teflon.
That's not easy to digest, right there. That's not. That's not. That's a bad experience, right
How
there.
How dare
you? Know?
You, say
you know, something like that comes out later. You know, that's not right.
Okay.
She's thinking about surviving right now, and we don't know how. We don't know what that dude was like.
When I was watching the movie, I was thinking like maybe he kidnapped her, maybe this other stuff. But when they go to the town, it's like, all right, that's most likely her dad. Yeah.
Hey, you know. You know what? I'm not going to go through here and say that there's things I don't have complaints about. And I'll start out with a mild one, because this one thing that I'm talking about here is something that I don't really think is a problem. I think, you know, if anything, it's just a formula, because the movie does end, you know, in a like most action blockbusters do. Mm-hmm. It ends with big explosions and gunfire and. You know,
you can't have a movie called War for the Planet of the Apes without having a war.
But that was my reason. I said, hey, you know what? It's kind of formula, but this shit was a buildup. Yeah. You know, and it is called War for the Planet of the Apes. And plus, it is the military. And there is one part where Woody Harrelson says, I wish they would come at me. I got all these guns and explosives around here. And it's like, well, yeah, shit is going to blow up. And the main thing that really got me with that is that it is such a tension building moment that. I was looking at this one scene where they finally it got to a part where Caesar just said, you know what? I'm sick of this shit. And he just blew everything up. He said he had a fucking moment. Yeah. He's like, I'm trying to be cool. I don't give a fuck who's going down now. And the other thing that I probably had. It might be nitpicking, but it's War of the Planet of the Apes. We do not need to have everything that's a war be. Have a Vietnam theme to it, because in this you can kind of you feel it that they are doing this whole thing of, and if you look at some of the things that they have in here, they're doing this whole thing of doing a lot of things that we've seen in such movies as Full Metal Jacket, and Apocalypse Now. You know, I'm looking at you know, like the dudes that are walking, and they all have things like Monkey Killer on the
helmets. Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and, the, and yeah, you get a very...
When I came early in the film, I was like, I don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah, yeah, and that kind of threw me off. And there's even a moment in the movie where they're playing like Jimi Hendrix, and, you know, it just feels like they're forcing a Vietnam theme a little bit too hard. And it's like, you know what, it might be one thing if we'd already have like one giant ape movie that was actually set in Vietnam.
Sure.
With Kong Skull Island. And after this, it's like, okay, you know, that was done so well in that movie. Here, it just feels a little bit forced. And I'm going to say that while you liked Woody Harrelson, and I did too, because Woody Harrelson, I thought he was going to be kind of a cartoonish character. Mm-hmm. You know, and to an extent, he was what I thought he was going to be from looking at the trailer.
He's over the top.
You are impressive. You're smart as hell. You're stronger than we are. But you're taking this all much too personally. So emotional!
And I was like, that's a little bit of a cartoonish moment,
like,
right
there.
If
you would have stopped like one line before this, we would have been good, but yeah. You had to do that.
Yeah, and I don't think the character needs to be, because they play him crazy. You see him just channeling a little bit of Colonel Kurtz mm-hmm. from Apocalypse Now, from what's his name?
Marlon Brando.
Was he fat as shit?
If he could, he had the potential. But, you know, there's a... I don't think they need to play him crazy at all.
I feel like there was a reason why they had to play him crazy, and I feel like that mm-hmm. came later.
Yeah.
But it's not he's not completely evil. He has a reason for right. what he's doing, and you understand his point of view. He's sadistic, and you can't wait for these. You really want these apes to tear his ass apart.
But mm-hmm. he's sadistic, but he could have been more so.
Yeah.
No, he's an asshole, man.
No. He's an asshole, but... Where he was, I was like, he could have been a lot worse.
So he doesn't feel like a rehash of Gary Oldman's character.
No. Okay. Gary Oldman felt like a zealot just yeah. trying to kill apes because they're apes. And this one, this guy's like, I have a reason why I want to do this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, all right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, listen, as I said, you know, these movies are great because they're part of a trilogy and they can stand alone. Or they can, you can watch them as a whole and even get a bigger sense of satisfaction from that. But I'm gonna come out and say it. You know, I didn't want to say number one because I thought y'all were gonna start making fun of me.
Nah, bro, this one.
Make fun of you.
Yeah.
Why would you care?
Oh, you have a way of digging in and making somebody hurt. Believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, you do, man. Hurt. Man, your words hurt, Martin. You don't know. Yo, you know, I hate to give you this power right now.
Ask him. Don't look at him.
But since you put it out there, yes. I'm going to say it. I'm going to make a bold-ass statement. You think Star Wars? Yeah, maybe Star Wars by, you know, a sense of history, just by being one of those blockbusters out there that did well back in the day, and everybody considers it to be one of those films that set off an era of blockbusters. But this is better than Star Wars. I think this is better than Toy Story. And the reason why is because every story has built up to something.
Mm-hmm.
Toy Story is something where they kind of tell the same story over and over again.
Thank you.
Yeah, they
you
do.
Know, I love Toy Story, but they do a repeat. They just get a different villain, a different setting. This actually has evolved. This actually is something that has grown in character and story and end up hitting a point that was a very, very thrilling and suspenseful end. And Star Wars, come on, y'all. Y'all know the Return of the Jedi. That's a fucking Muppet show. Y'all know that. And, you know, that's something where they kind of devolved in quality. I mean, some great storytelling going on there. But this here, I was amazed at what they were able to do with this. And it's funny because, again, the irony is while blockbusters start to devolve and get dumber, these ape movies as blockbusters have gotten better.
How apropos.
Thank you.
Or apropos.
Fuck you. I don't know what you do.
Like Woody Harrelson, if you would have just stopped one line,
yeah,
one line,
ooh, man. I said thank you, and you have to get me.
Ow.
Damn, I know that shit stung. Like, that's what I mean. Your words hurt. But fuck these Transformers. Fuck these robots. Fuck that mummy. Fuck that pirate. Fuck your universe. This is a better than sex movie for me right here, man. I know everybody's probably going to think that I'm hyping it up a little bit too much for you. I know people are probably thinking that, man, I'm going to be disappointed when I see it. I told you, I'm a story person. I'm a character person. And to see it done on this kind of scale where this kind of storytelling is usually considered to be in a place where it's safer, you know, a movie with a lesser budget,
mm-hmm.
for them to take a chance with this. Yeah, I agree. I do think that this... When you take it as the whole in the trilogy, I do think that this is one of the best movies of the decade. I really do. And, yeah, better than sex for me.
Well, I'm not going to say it's the best or one of the best trilogies only because nothing stays a trilogy anymore. Everything that's been a trilogy, they've gone back and made one more movie in the series.
They said they're working on they proposed the story for the next one for this series.
Yeah. I got, you know what? I'll tell you how I can argue that just real quick. You can take these movies, because this story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It wraps itself up tight. And you can end that story there. Now, you can go to the next phase, but this is a trilogy that can stand on its own. So cutting it off right there, yeah. Yes.
So they make the next one.
He's got the right to say that. If we consider the original trilogy of Star Wars a solo trilogy.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
But continue, I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway, This movie gave me everything that I had hoped I was going to get from the second movie, which I just found a little bit too predictable and characters flat, where this is the opposite of that. And the technology is really I can't even express enough about how good it is, because the acting you get from the apes is some of the best acting you'll see all year. Yeah, humans, good luck trying to do that.
Yeah.
I doubt you'll be able to pull it off. And in my quibbles with it, what I said about the fan service here and there, and there's moments where it gets kind of bogs itself down a little bit. If you're watching it, there could be a point where you're like, it feels like it's dragging. I would say just wait, just reserve that, because it was a point I thought that, and we, especially when we saw the monkey killer and stuff on the helmets, around that point I was like, yeah, I'm not sure how this movie's going to go. But it doesn't take much longer before it really takes off. And what I appreciate about it most is that we're in a time where they're making sequels to movies, and they keep coming back saying, like, you know what? You made that too smart and too complicated for the audience. Pull back on the plot. Dumb it down. Simplify it. That's why we keep getting these James Bonds that are just like, Jesus. Because they keep saying, nobody understood that.
Yeah.
Make them simpler. And this did the opposite, because as much as it looked like, okay, I know what this is going to be, and their capture is all about them getting out, you realize that, like, once it gets laid out, you're like, oh, this situation is way more complex than I initially thought.
Yeah.
And this ain't no kind of just the great escape from prison. They could really be fucked here. So there's a lot to overcome, and it does a great allegory to the Trail of Tears and Native American population. It ends in an emotional place, and it makes you hungry for whatever that next movie is going to be. So yeah, I give it a high full price.
Yeah,
I never quite cried in it, but I can totally see how somebody would.
That's because you a cold bastard, man. That's why.
It was freezing at theater, by the way.
So I tried to the film, the movie.
I tried to cry, but for my tears,
it was frozen
to ice
right
now.
Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze. What do you think, man?
First of all, yes, I feel like this is the best trilogy ever. And fuck Toy Story. Oh, God, I hate that shit.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Come on, man.
This is the kind of thing you pull the cork off of.
Three
was just two with a new rapper on it. But yeah, with this, man, you go through the range of emotions multiple times. So you're sad multiple times. You're elated for some people when there's actually a brief, shining, glimmering moment of hope. And then you're just brought back down again.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, this movie is an emotional roller coaster. And even we haven't talked a lot about it. But, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff with the climax between the humans and the apes with all those explosions. But there is a badass fight scene in the forest that this movie starts off with that we did not talk about at all.
That's right.
Where it was on some, like, remember what we saw in The Revenant? Where it looked
And
I was like, there's no way there's going to be like a scene where like a tribe is fighting some advanced technology and it looks better than The Revenant.
It was one of those
bullshit.
Oh yeah, no, it was one of those fights where all the horses are fucked.
Yeah. You're like, all right, but yeah, man, it's this movie goes it, like Martin said, it at no point insults your intelligence, and I feel like it's raised its intelligence like the apes in this movie over the series. Like with Rise, it was kind of a simple story. Dawn, it was a war story of humans in it, and this is just a complex story where it could have been something really simple like Dances with Wolves, or just, you know, the technology, the more technologically advanced race going against these indigenous people. But yeah, man, they found a way to elevate everything in this movie. I love the hell out of this movie, dude. It's jockeying for number one on my best of list this year. This is a better than sex film.
Yeah, yeah. Now it is my number one movie this year right now. No doubt. I absolutely love this movie right here, and I'm looking forward, like you said, to see what the next phase of this is going to be, because I think that's when we're going to start.
You just got to call it a trilogy.
It is a trilogy. I'm leaving it right there. I'm a witness.
All they got to do is make another movie that picks up right where this left off, and it's no longer a trilogy.
It'll have Tony Stark in it. Yeah. Too. Just you wait.
No, Mark, we're doing some Marvel Phase 2 shit. This is not the next trilogy.
It's going to be like the prequel.
It'll be what's his name? Trevorrow. Colin Trevorrow making the next movie.
Ooh. I'm not even acknowledging that.
The Book of Caesar
or John Trent.
Yeah. Michael Bay.
Oh.
Josh Trank.
No.
Josh Trank's got a new trilogy. Y'all. He's back.
Where'd Caesar get that wig?
Why are the apes flying? What's going on here? They found an alien ship.
Why is Caesar's arm stretching? Oh. Let's see what we got here. We're going to move on real quick to this trailer, because it is Trailer Tuesday. I forgot to mention that. Trailer Tuesday. With,
hey, let him say
it. I'm sorry. What day is it, Gertz?
Trailer Tuesday.
Oh, my God. And we, since we had a review tonight, we're going to do one trailer right here, and it's one that everybody's talking about. And it's your boy Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan is back. And Jack, like I said before, Jackie Chan said, you know, I got one more ass whooping left in me. Do not count me out yet. Because everybody talking about, man, he old now. Jackie Chan need to sit his ass down. He ain't that young Jackie Chan where he used to fly around and climb up walls and shit. You know, at one time they're talking about him being being Spider-Man. The dude in the suit, like before they had the CG to do Spider-Man. Yeah.
Oh, before they had the CG. Yeah.
Before they had CG for Spider-Man.
Oh,
they
he would have been a stuntman.
Yeah, he would have been. Okay. No, he would have been the effect.
I was about to say, he ain't going to be like Peter.
Yeah, he would have been Tommy. No.
Something ain't right, man.
Peter Parker.
No, they said, like, look, if there's one human being who can climb walls and ceilings, it's Jackie Chan.
Yeah, okay.
No wire work or anything. Mm-hmm. Does it all on his own. But now they're saying, sit your ass down, Jackie.
Go play Mahjong.
But with this right here, we have The Foreigner. And with The Foreigner, it's almost like a... What's up, man?
I'm just laughing at Felix laughing. That's
I know.
I
know.
He didn't do nothing wrong. He just laughed.
I know. He just has fun by himself. I think half the time he's got his own show going on back then. He ain't even... There's some shit going on in his head. He don't even hear what we say. This motherfucker might as well be in a mental home. Just sitting in the corner just laughing. Jackie Chan, he's kicking around his head right now. But we got this movie, The Foreigner, where he's coming back. And he's doing what we've seen a lot of movies do. I know.
Come on, man.
I know.
That's an understatement.
That's a very mild understatement right there. But let's go ahead. Because, look, it might be what you've seen before, but you ain't seen it done Jackie's way. Let's go ahead and see this trailer for The Foreigner, and we'll be back to talk about it.
Everyone's already inside. Bye, Dad.
Damn.
An explosion rocked the city today.
20,000 pounds for the names of the bombers. That's not how we do things here.
Hello?
Mr. Hennessy, he's here again.
That's 5 days in a row now.
What does he want?
His daughter was killed in the bombing.
Mr. Hennessy, please find out the names of the bombers.
I work for the government, not terrorists.
You used to work for them.
I don't know who the bombers are.
I don't believe you.
It's him.
Shit. You would tell me the names of the bombers.
Shit. Oh, come on. Kill me on
Tuesday. He's trained.
Bury me on Wednesday.
Maybe special forces.
Both for me Thursday.
Stop! She's like a bull!
You gotta let me go.
He just wants you to know he can get to you.
What is going on?
He thinks I know who blew up his daughter.
Do you?
Fuck. Yeah, played yourself.
Well, yeah, but
that's not the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how women win arguments, man. They set your ass up to fail.
Somebody say a prayer for me.
Come on.
Of half the city looking for him.
Gotcha, man.
Let me cuddle with you real quick.
He was camouflaging them leaves.
All for me Monday. Then you gotta let me go. Then you gotta let me go.
He's an old man running circles around a lot of us. He's ahead of us every step of the way.
Open it up. Yes, I do. Do you?
you know, look.
Fuck y'all. I want to go see this right now.
Man, I'm telling you, man, y'all sitting up here saying, oh, we done seen it before. Gert's the whole time like, ah, oh, come on. Listen, I'm going to tell you why I love this, man. I'm with you. I ain't saying the movie's going to be good. I just love, this is like Jackie Chan's last fuck you in a way. He's like, yeah, y'all thought I was cute. I hear running like a sidekick to loud black comedians. You know, your kids laughing at my Jackie Chan cartoon.
Right.
Yeah, y'all thought I was playing. But y'all forgot. I'll whoop the shit out of you and your kids. Fuck you. You know, I love this. Because it's not just ass kicking Jackie Chan. Like, we've never seen this before. This is crazy Jackie Chan.
Pissed off
Jackie Chan.
We never seen him mad.
Yeah, you know, everybody used to love seeing Jackie Chan just do acrobatics and smile and crack a joke and everything. No, he's like, I'm fucked up right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm pretty goddamn mad.
End of my rope.
Yeah. And I get why y'all are like kind of sitting up here not too enthusiastic. I get it, man. Because this shit is nothing but Taken. Except that he don't get his daughter back to stuff.
No. Taken, Sleepless.
Rambo.
Yeah. You know.
Law-abiding
citizen. Yeah. I get it. But the thing is, with this is as much everybody talks about Liam Neeson, man. Everybody talks about how badass Liam Neeson. Yeah, Liam Neeson's badass when he's got his stump, man.
Sure.
You know, but
yeah,
Jack,
he's like 60 something years old.
Well, yeah, exactly. I get it. But Jackie Chan said, I ain't about that stump man shit. You know, I'll whoop ass personally right here.
True.
Jackie Chan wants you to know. He says, shit, you know. I'm not about that stunt and double shit. When I'm whooping your ass, I want you to see me coming for you. You know? That's a 60-year-old man clinging to the ceiling right there.
Spider-Man!
I don't need no fucking webs. Got these Chinese fingers on your head. You know, but I get what you're saying. I want to let you know I'm not disagreeing because I was rolling my eyes through this too.
Yeah.
Because I understand. Because it's always that shit whether they pissed off the wrong guy.
Yep.
That guy
and he's always special forces.
Yep.
He's trained.
Bury me on Wednesday.
Maybe special forces.
And his records were on file. They could have. When a crazy motherfucker keeps coming up to your office, before you piss him off, go to the library, go on Google, look it up because his shit was out there. Got his driver's license and everything out there.
Well, did you look up Felix?
No. Felix looked me up. Felix, if you notice, Felix just appeared.
And Gertz, Felix, I think you're starting Corey's card tonight.
And that's why I love Felix, because Felix, I believe he is special forces, and I want him on my side. You know, I want Felix cradling my dead body. You know, I want him to avenge me when I'm dead. That's the funny thing about this too. You know, there's some things in here that could be considered kind of offensive. For one, and it just caught my attention a little while ago because I'm looking at this, and let me find the right frame for it, because you know we live in an age of frequent terrorism right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, they lose their loved ones and they never get to see that person again. And for dramatic effect here, first of all, before I get your opinions on the trailer, is it offensive to do a movie like this where there's explosions at the hands of terrorism everywhere and it's done for entertainment? And also, they're doing cheap things here, cheap emotional things. Like, after this explosion, he happens to go get the body full intact so he can cradle it so the audience can feel bad for him.
See, yeah,
I don't think so. But
that body would smell like shit too. Like,
it's his daughter though, like, man. Don't care what she smells like. She's dead.
Yeah, he's not even thinking about that.
Just saying, man.
You're emotionally dead over there.
Like, I'm not getting near that.
Forget there's a dead body, man. She smells like shit. I wouldn't touch that.
I can't hug you, baby. You smell like shit.
Gertz is going to go see the Planet of the Apes and laugh all through.
Yeah. Every time somebody dies. Every time an ape dies. Ah!
He probably smells like shit.
All right.
Like ape shit. But do you think this is offensive? Somewhat, maybe.
I don't know, man, because this is kind of like, all right, is it offensive that we always keep making movies about Mexico and there's always like drug cartels running the city? Or is it offensive every time we go to China, everybody knows Kung Fu? It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's something that's a part of this world, and it's, you got to realize it's a movie. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's stuff that's taking parody off of what's happening in real life, so you can't really blame it.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's an interesting question because when it first popped up like that, I thought, this is going to be offensive if they throw Kung Fu in here. But then the way it really does deal with his grief and he is acting, and you know, it's more of a serious tone through it. So I forgot about thinking about it being offensive, as opposed to London Has Fallen, where I was just you need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You're gonna blow up London and then play it with this cheap, just half written. Piece of exploitative shit.
Yeah, I got you.
The thing is, I don't know who this movie wants me to root for, though. It's like, the terrorist blew up London, so I'm gonna become a terrorist to make you tell me who blew my daughter up. It's like, okay.
You know what? And
well, I'm curious, because him going after Pierce Brosnan like that, that makes it seem like it's the IRA rather than Al-Qaeda.
No, from what they just showed in the movie, apparently Pierce Brosnan is in some position of authority, and like, he was prepared to blow up his car in a parking deck. I'm like, Brosnan wouldn't have been the only casualty of that. So, like, it's weird.
Well, that's the thing with this movie, too. They should have told you, these are not brown terrorists. We ain't trying to incite nothing.
Right.
These are pure lily white terrorists right here. And when you say that, I'm thinking the same thing. It might be because, everybody thinks that Pierce Brosnan is British.
Irish.
He's Irish, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's funny. I was thinking the same thing and didn't want to say anything because I was thinking, well, you haven't seen the movie yet. And I was like, spoilers. But yeah, the IRA, man.
Well, also, something about the way that was cut, that bomb in his car. They were like, oh, I guess it wasn't real. He just wanted to show that he could have got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about you, man?
I don't find it offensive because almost contrary to the point you raised, I almost find it a little too goofy to be offensive, I guess. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you look at something and you're offended by something that's, frankly, this outlandish, then I don't really know what to say to you, man. It's so derivative of other action movies, I can't get offended by it based off this trailer.
And, you know, if we – I was thinking seriously, like, man, maybe this is not a cool thing for them to do. But I was also thinking it might be a good message in that, hey, not only Muslims and brown people are terrorists.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
It might send a message out there like anybody with a bomb can be a terrorist. Mm-hmm. Anybody blows shit up. Is a terrorist. Anybody that causes mass death is a terrorist. I'm with you on how goofy this movie is.
Yeah, it does look like it could be fun. I find that I've referenced this movie a lot, but remember Life, or when we saw that trailer, it was like, this just looks like an Alien ripoff. But we ended up having fun with it.
Yeah.
This could be that again.
And you know something? I even as serious as they're trying to make this, they're trying to make dark Jackie Chan right here.
Yeah.
I still see that Jackie Chan that I laugh at.
Yeah.
Because they try to put him in dark areas where he's spying on people and he's trying to do spy work, and it just looks like – he just looked like a lovable perv to me. You know?
It's like the setting is doing the acting for him almost.
Yeah.
Like he's just got that same face.
Yeah, because when he takes that picture right there, when he looks at it, he's like, damn, that's hot. Look like he's going to go home and jack off but not do any kind of work to avenge his daughter. And you know the
– Man, I don't know where you get this shit from.
Hey, you know, I haven't seen the movie yet, man. It's just a trailer. I'm putting my own story together.
And there'll be a twist.
The action, I think, will be cool because I like the director. Y'all know I like Casino Royale. I know not everybody else does, but I love it. But Martin Campbell, who looks like he's about to get his ass kicked by Jackie Chan right now.
No,
Jackie, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry, do what you want, improvise. But Martin Campbell, I love the action in what do you call it?
Casino Royale.
I was going to say Green Lantern.
And fuck that. Did he do Green Lantern?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Jackie Chan will play poker for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, how great would that be? Just him playing poker throughout
Royal
the whole
Flash.
And losing.
Yeah.
With green cards.
Okay. But to his credit, he also did GoldenEye.
He did GoldenEye also, which is a great film. But one of the things I love with Casino Royale, like, you got a serious movie right here. And, well, it looks like it wants to have some serious moments in there.
I don't know about that.
It looks like...
This is like some goofy-ass shit, man.
It looks goofy in action, but it looks like... Look, it's a guy avenging his daughter, and he's fucked up through the whole film. So it looks like they're going to have to balance out some drama with the action. And say what you will about Casino Royale. I know that there were slow parts in there for people. Some people like me enjoyed it, and I think they did a great job at balancing out those slow parts with those moments of actions. But you're like, nah, man, this shit is goofy.
Yeah, man. Like, looking at this, man, I feel like I'm just seeing, like, this has the potential to be Taken 3. And that is not something that I'm looking forward to sitting through. Y'all was geeked to go see this shit. And I just imagine Jackie Chan, that part in Taken 3, he was running down that block. It was winded after half a block.
Oh, that part. Yeah. Mike, you had a stunt, man. Liam Neeson, you ain't seen Taken 3. He had a scene where he needed to run just a block. And he got about 3 feet down. He's like,
oh, where's our daughter? I was like,
Jesus. Could have been Anthony Hopkins in Transformers, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to make these older, like, with Jason Bourne, I can believe it because he's still, like, in his 40s and younger. Yeah. But, like, y'all making these 50-plus superheroes in this movie be, like, able to kick dudes, like, half their age ass. Nah, man. This is goofy.
It's Jackie Chan.
I don't care.
60-year-old man.
This is an old-ass man that's been doing stunt work for, 40-something years, 50-something years?
Yeah. So he's an expert.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, that man, he also, I have his bones of metal. Like this man, when it rains,
then
I know he's in
Wolverine
pain.
Then.
Yeah, so it's Wolverine.
Yeah.
He ain't no fucking mutant.
You don't know that.
No, he's a Terminator.
You haven't tested his genes?
And this is supposed to be tested in the real world. He should be dead.
Plus those guys, they're used to using guns, and they have glamour muscles.
They seem to have some kind of military training. This is goofy, man. I feel like this is going to be some Taken 3 shit, and I hope you were prepared to sit through it. This is going to be horrible.
I tell you what, if it is Taken 3, I'm going to love it just as much.
Yeah, we're going to love it in different ways.
I think it's going to be good.
What's that?
I think it's going to be Taken 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Don't date.
I think it's going to be Rambo and Taken 1 and 2 and 3.
And Sleepless.
And Law Abiding Citizen.
Yeah.
As the old people in the room, we're going to stand behind our man. We're going to stand behind our fellow
senior
citizens.
You get him, Jackie.
Yeah.
All right. We'll make sure we have the applesauce after the movie.
This trailer could use more Chris Tucker.
Yeah. You went as him for Halloween. I don't want to hear it.
You got to save Chris Tucker for the sequel.
Oh, yeah.
man.
The title's weird. The Foreigner. Like, what is this?
No, I think we need that. A lot of foreign people catching a bad rap today.
Yeah, that's true.
We need somebody to stand up for them.
So you wanted to be a terrorist? Yeah. Okay. We want a terrorist to replace the terrorists with foreigners. That logic.
Whatever it takes, man.
Okay.
Get them, Jackie. Get them. Get these young bastards out here talking shit.
Show them how it's done. Yeah.
Y'all just scared. Y'all just scared of old man.
Y'all fall asleep in this movie like the old people you are. It was great. Y'all was asleep 20 minutes in.
Yeah, but I dreamt of a better one.
Yeah, I think that's y'all's nightmare, man. A whole motherfucker like this to whoop y'all's ass one day.
I'm not concerned about it happening in my life.
That's all right. I see what's going on. The 4th of October. I'm behind it. I'm all behind it.
It comes out on Friday the 13th.
Wait. It's October?
Yep. This comes out during horror movie month. This is going to be a horror movie in a different kind of way.
I'll take it any way it can get here. Hey, real quick. This is a story, and I just want to put this out here. I hate to say it, man, because I'm always telling people to go out there and do good deeds, do well by your fellow man, help people. But sometimes, a lot of times, that can backfire. And
you got to choose your shots.
I'm just going to say right now, just, you know, I might feel different tomorrow. I might feel different Friday. But right now, I don't care what kind of situation you see. Leave them the fuck alone. You see a kid getting pulled into a van, leave him alone. Let him get taken. And then
I'm going to let you take this one, man.
I will. Listen to my logic. Mm-hmm. Hear me out. Let me just put it out there. Did you hear the story about the guy? Did you hear the one about the guy that saved a kid? He didn't really save. He was assisting a kid, trying to help this kid find her father. Witnesses say that they saw this going on. And the father showed up and beat the shit out this guy. No questions asked. It was...
Where was this?
What do you think?
Florida. Not Florida.
Florida!
Can we just have a Florida segment on this show?
Florida is a segment.
Yeah.
What's Florida done this week?
This week.
Only in Florida. Trying to help a 2-year-old girl when you get your ass beat. I got the story right here. I hope it plays.
You heartless bastard.
Where is this? This is on ABC Eyewitness News, ABC7Chicago.com.
I'm sorry, man. She just got kidnapped again last week.
Yeah, nobody said nothing. Why? Because they didn't want to get their ass beat. Yeah, and man, this story, it almost pissed me off. I'll let the video play. Hopefully it will. And just hear the whole thing out, and then you're going to see what I'm talking about.
A missing two-year-old turns a Saturday at the ball field into chaos.
I thought he was taking my kids.
But according to Lakeland Police, it was all a misunderstanding. They tell us a Good Samaritan spotted the child and tried to help her find her parents.
An independent witness didn't know the family or anybody said they saw him pointing out different males, saying, "Is that your father?"
The Good Samaritan told police the little girl pointed at this park, so that's where he was taking her to find her parents. But the dad tells us all he saw was this strange man walking towards this parking lot with his daughter.
I wanted to kill the man.
When the girl's father called up to the man, he admits he punched him.
Probably about 5 or 6 times.
Investigators determined the man was just trying to do the right thing. But since the incident, there's been a social media firestorm. Family and friends of the toddler posted his name, photo, and place of employment, calling him a child predator.
Damn!
Him, but he was too terrified to talk. He tells us he even had to take his own family out of town.
And this guy, as a father, a local businessman, has two children, was trying to help this child, but they turned it completely around, and that's not right.
The little girl's father just isn't buying it.
Do you buy that he was trying to find her parents?
No, hell no, I don't. Not at all.
Man, fuck this dude. You know, they should, everybody, whoever that guy is, everybody needs to shame that guy.
Yeah, nobody's stopping to go like, wait, do I have this right that you lost your daughter at some point?
That's what I'm saying.
You forget this is in Florida.
Yeah.
Logic is out the window.
There's a man who lost his fucking kid. A stranger had to find him, and he's trying to publicly shame and beat the shit out this guy. Fuck this dude. They should find this guy and put his ass out there as the one of the worst fucking fathers in the world. He ain't caring about that dollar. That little girl, he just wanted to beat somebody's ass. He just wanted to feel like a man. You know, fuck this dude. I tell you what, I don't want to wish bad things on people, but I hope his little girl get lost again. I hope that motherfucker don't find her for 3 days. I hope they find her alive, but I hope they don't find her ass for a good 3 days.
You just want some porner shit.
It sounds like that alive thing to you is just incidental.
What's that? Optional. This is an optional question. You don't have to do this.
Beggars can't be choosers.
No, I want the girl to be okay. I want her to be somewhere safe. Maybe somebody. And I hope it's a bigger motherfucker that found her is taking care of her so he can beat the shit out this dad.
Yeah, maybe a bear.
Yeah, exactly.
It's my kid now.
This guy talking about I don't believe it. There were witnesses out there that said that this happened. The police said it happened, but him, his family, somebody tried to take my cousin. No, hell no, I don't buy it. I hope somebody beats the fuck out this guy.
You know what the thing is? Again, because this is Florida, there's no logic. If it could have been like, yo, this guy's trying to take my kid. He hit him maybe once, and then it was like, yo, I'm just trying to help him find like you. Like, it could have been solved with like an apology. Let me help you get your teeth fixed, and I'm going to take you out to dinner. Thank you so much. But Buddy said, yeah, I hit him, and then I hit him 5 or 6 times. I was like, all right.
Did you hear how proud he was of that?
Like, this is assault now.
And the guy, you want to know something? The guy that was beat, better man than I am, didn't file charges.
Shit, I would
have. I would have. I would have tried to sue him for life.
I know you're going
to
be seeing your daughter behind bars, buddy.
Yeah.
Get used to that glass beam between y'all.
Yeah, I would have tried to put his ass away. I wouldn't want to go. I'm exaggerating. I wouldn't want to go away for life, but I would for a good year. I would want him to be in jail, be away from his daughter, and getting beat down by every motherfucker in the prison. This guy,
especially the shit he pulled after, like putting his stuff up on Facebook and I'm a good guy in this community, and you're ruining everything I've got going for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm telling you, the daughter has nothing to do with it. He just wanted to do some foul shit to another person. That guy's disturbed. I hope that guy. I ain't lying. I hope his daughter safely goes missing. I hope they prove him to be the fucking shitty father that he is.
Are you going to Jackie Chan this situation where you're going to go down there yourself and kidnap the daughter?
reverse take it. Where my daughter at? Good luck. Took it. Hey man, I'm right behind you. Nah, man. You know, I don't want anything to happen to the daughter. I don't want to wish anything bad on kids, but I'll tell you what, if I see your kid playing in traffic or something, I'm leaving him alone now.
He's already a bad dad. He's raising a kid in Florida. Are you doing?
Your
priority's already out of way.
By location. By default of being in Florida. That's bad. Wow, man, I want to be a good person. I want to do nice things, but because of a shit stain like that, now when I see kids in trouble, I'm going to treat them like stray animals. Don't touch it. Don't get involved. It might be dangerous.
This is a rare occurrence. And again, you don't live in Florida, so you can still help children if they're lost.
I will be good. Look,
hear what you're saying. Man, I want to do good things, but because of that guy, well, now I got to go back to just being an asshole.
I know, and I am. All right, I got it.
I mean, I really wanted to do good stuff, don't get me wrong. But that guy, so
Martin,
back to playing video games.
Yeah. I mean,
see a little girl wandering in the parking lot.
Good luck.
Look, I told you, man, just give me a couple of days. That's all. If you lose your kid between now and Thursday or Friday, you shit out of luck if I see him. But by Friday, if I see them in danger, I'm good. I can help. I'm in a bad place right now, though. I'm very angry.
So. I mean, you can't help but wonder. It's like, wait, this little girl's walking around by herself in Florida where we have people who eat other people's flesh?
Do you know Florida? Alligators eat kids.
Yeah.
That's true.
At Disney World.
Yeah.
You know this?
The safest place on earth.
Yeah.
Florida has fucking alligators the size of dinosaurs just walking around golf courses.
Yep.
You can't lose a kid. They got werewolves reading people's faces.
It is Jurassic Park meets The Walking Dead.
It's the Universal Dark Universe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is a goddamn horror show.
Florida.
Yeah. That'll be the next movie in the Universal Monsters Universe.
If they were secretly trying to build a Jurassic Park and that one just happened to get out.
Nobody in Florida knows.
No one's going to Florida even for a Jurassic Park.
No. Prehistoric creatures just hanging out. That's a Tuesday. That's how we roll.
Let's get into the emails real quick. Let's see where we are. Thank you for doing the review with me tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, sure.
It. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I love hearing your opinions about it, even though we didn't agree.
I knew it.
It's as bad as the last time, though. He ain't going to call you back in to do another review.
Yeah, no.
You gave this a high full price. Yo, you must have hated it.
That was some scumbag shit you did to him, man. I felt so bad for him.
I admit it. It was. No, it was. We did Planet of the Apes, and I realized how wrong I was. I didn't call you back because I didn't because I wanted to punish you. I realized I didn't do a review. I was so mad at Martin. My review was just, fuck you. Fuck you. You didn't like it? Fuck you. How could you not? Agree with me. Agree with me. So I said, man, I went home and reflected. I saw that review and I was like, damn, that's shitty.
This is what I do to people?
This is what, I said, that hurts people. I said I was really wrong for that. So that's why I did it again. I
wouldn't hurt you. You were just so out of control. I was belligerent.
It was a great lesson because since that day, I have never lacked on preparing for a review. It was a turning point for me. Mm-hmm. From that day, I know it might not seem like it all the time, but that made me much more a professional person as far as being prepared for these shows. That was a turning point in my life.
I think the best part of that review is that right afterwards you reviewed Planes 2. It was literally like the next week.
That was right. Yeah.
No. Fuck you, man. No. No, man. No, this motherfucker gonna cry for those goddamn planes, but ain't gonna cry for these apes. No, man, you know what? I take back every apology I gave you. No, that shit was deserved. It made me a better person, but it cleansed me too. Motherfucker talking about all that plane, but he can't cry for Caesar. No.
Neither of them are real. You do get that, right?
But you felt for one more than the other.
That's his choice.
Yo, man.
That's his choice to feel that way about these fake-ass characters.
No, no, Martin.
They're both CG.
Yeah. No, Martin, as a critic, it really is your responsibility to feel
to agree with you.
When I'm right, yeah. And that day, I felt like I was right.
He was worried about the pain.
We were good. Man. He really is an evil motherfucker, man.
We told you at the beginning of the show.
What? You are the hunky white devil, man.
Just saying things that happen, that's all.
This is why black people can't get along, because white people like you, man. You know what you're doing. We were good, Martin.
Yeah.
I can't forgive you, but we were good.
Maybe Planes 3 will be better than sex when it comes out and you'll give it a full price. Boom, you can get them back for it.
Okay, we'll see.
Maybe. Are they making the Planes 3?
They probably are.
He couldn't feel for Lightning McQueen, but he can cry for that plane. I don't get you, man.
What's his name? Dusty? Yeah.
Dusty.
Dusty.
Dusty was about to catch on fire at the beginning of that movie. Martin was feeling it.
Man, you should have seen the way Martin and Dustin was trying, and nobody believed in Dustin.
Nah, because my first show was the week after that, and I came in and y'all was still bickering about planes too. I was like, do I need to be? I can leave the room.
Yeah, we were. We really were.
That's the only reason I remember that movie's existence.
Hey, let me go ahead and tell everybody the winner. Let me see here. I think we have a winner for our contest. Talking about our Baby Driver contest. Once again, just to fill you in real quick, we're doing a contest for the upcoming feature Baby Driver, which is coming out tomorrow as of this time, and 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's still maintaining that. And the new Edgar Wright movie that's coming here in America. You know, last time he was here, didn't have a good time with that Scott Pilgrim. Everybody loved it, but it didn't do well.
And Ant-Man got taken from him.
He just cannot succeed here in the States. But people saying it's going to be the one. And to celebrate, they are giving away a poster signed by the whole cast. Who does not want Kevin Spacey and Jamie Foxx up in their bedroom? And
you know, we should go ahead and sign it, too, just to make it that
much better. Just sign ours, the biggest.
John Hancock. Yeah.
Scribble out their names.
Put our faces on everybody in the cast. But, yeah, we're going to be giving away a poster, and they're going to be giving away a soundtrack for this, because everybody's talking about how great the soundtrack is. And we have one more day for a question where people can be entered as a finalist to receive those prizes. And tonight we have our third finalist, which is going to be, I'm looking at his email here, I'm going to say that this is correct. RJ Rutherford says, "Attack the Block" is the answer that we were looking for. And if you want to know the question right here, the question was, Edgar Wright was an executive producer for what British science fiction film starring a future lightsaber wielder with a biblical name? John Boyega as Moses? And the answer is Attack the Block, which RJ Rutherford got right there. So you will be entered as a finalist in the contest, and we will choose our winner tomorrow. Two of them. Two winners tomorrow. Let me check that, because maybe we might be giving the soundtrack and the poster away to one person. Mm-hmm. Boy, y'all look nervous as hell.
Now somebody just banged on the door behind us.
No, I know. Hey, I heard that shit too, but I had to maintain. Now, let's go ahead and get into some emails right here. And Ian Ramsey says, critics question. Hey guys, has there been any movies that you've seen that was so well written that excused the bad plot or fucked up circumstances? I realize one of my favorite movies is Superbad. And he said that he would gladly share with us, but it's late. I'm not going to try to call you this late, man. But are there movies that I can excuse? I mean, there's a lot of movies I can excuse for bad dialogue.
I think of movies that... Wait, he said bad dialogue?
He said... Good, well-written, but the rest of the movie is garbage.
There's plenty of movies with really good dialogue where the plot, I didn't even think about the plot because I like the dialogue so much. And when I do think about it, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, okay, that's what he did say. Excuse the bad plot or fucked up circumstances because of the great writing that's in the movie. Mm-hmm. Can you think of something?
Most recently, Free Fire. The plot of Free Fire is super simple, but you like those characters a lot because they have good dialogue. So, yeah, that one instantly comes to mind.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know all the crazy stuff I like. I know people might say Prisoners are a ghost story.
Or Enemy.
Enemy. That's what I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. Enemy. You know, those are movies that confuse people. Those movies, go in there and they say, it's pretentious. But I really like those films because I do think they're so well written. But everything else around it, people say, I just don't get it. You got some?
The movie that I think has great dialogue and everything else around it is wild, and I didn't really understand much of it. Requiem for a Dream. I thought a lot of the interactions between characters were really well done, and the dialogue was great. But the rest of the movie, like, there's some dope scenes that happen, but like as a cohesive story, it baffles me.
Yeah. Corn Dog Man.
Or Fateful Findings.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Love that. Oh.
As president of the bank. Word.
Jesse Anderson says. Martin. But Martin don't have patience for that kind of stuff. Martin really doesn't. Like The Room, you don't like that kind of stuff. That's not your thing. Yeah, Martin, like, I got better shit.
I'm a planes, man.
Where dust is. Jesse Anderson says, hey, Corey, is your wedding going to be a live show? I'd pay for that. All right, man. If you're dropping money, I might do it just for you. you know,
I'm going to live stream your wedding.
Yeah, you know.
That ain't just your decision.
Yeah. I don't want those fucking nerds watching our wedding, baby. See, you make us sound like Dracula, too. I'm following the same thing. Nah, man, of course I'm not. I mean, she made it clear, like, don't you dare bring it. Because she said, I was thinking that, too. I ain't going to lie. I was thinking, maybe.
Anything for the clicks.
Yeah, maybe for the wedding, but after I say I do, we can open up the gates and just let everybody in. But she was one step ahead of me. She's like, don't even think about that shit. And I lied and said, I'd never do that shit, but man. Yeah, man.
$40 to live stream?
Some pay-per-view numbers.
Pay-per-view shit, yeah.
Going to be a fight afterwards?
Gonna come out after that?
Yeah.
It'll be longer than a Mayweather fight.
Marcus Kilgore. Let me see what he says.
MK Ultra.
Marcus Kilgore. He says, with the recent announcements of the Han Solo Star Wars anthology movie, you know that's going through a lot of shit right now.
Yeah. Apparently they don't like your boy playing Han Solo.
Alden Eldritch, man. Let me. Aaron Wright. Yeah, I'm sorry. Aaron Wright. Let me see if I can find this right here.
Twitter was so simple.
Yeah.
You got it.
Man.
Hail Caesar.
I want to be behind Disney so much on this. I want to be behind Chris Miller and Phil Lord. They just got fired. The guys who did 21 Jump Street, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, 22 Jump Street. And they said things were going well. Kathleen Kennedy was loving the direction of the Star Wars film. They said, oh, man, these guys, they get Han Solo. And plus, they're taking this property in a whole new different direction. Everybody thought that they had a Guardians of the Galaxy thing going on here, or, you know, a movie that was going to take a risk and be so much different from the rest of the Star Wars movies. But once they started improvising everything and doing the movie in their style, and especially when they start going up against Lawrence Kasdan's script, he's like,
he's Mr. Star Wars.
Yeah. He's like, these words, you have to say these.
You know, I stay up all night writing this for nothing.
You try to Jedi mind trick
them? Yeah, exactly.
You say these words.
These words built this galaxy. Mm. Y'all better quit fucking around and do what we tell you to do. And they said nope, and they got fired from it. And now they got more trouble. What's his name?
Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah, they took this big cast picture right here with Childish Gambino, Chewbacca, Han Solo, Alden Ehrenreich in the middle. Woody Harrelson looking like he's about to eat everybody in this picture right here. And the thing that's come out now is that they said, yeah, the guy playing Han Solo, we're not feeling him.
We don't like that motherfucker.
Yeah, they had to bring in an acting coach. Now, I don't know. It must be really hard to be chosen for a huge project, and then something comes out saying, yeah, this bitch can't do it.
Well, having acting coaches is not anything out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. I heard they got one for Chris Hemsworth on Thor.
I heard that too. And Anthony Hopkins was like, get this motherfucker an acting coach.
but it's a typical thing. It's just that this movie's under a microscope right now.
Yeah.
And everybody's looking for something new they can write about it. Like the thing I read where it said Miller and Lord, they wanted to turn Han Solo into Ace Ventura pet detective.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, they were saying like the comedy was going to be on that level.
Talking out of his butt,
only Jim Carrey can get away with that.
Yeah, I don't know. That is the thing about Chris Miller and Phil Lord. If we really want to go into this discussion, since you asked,
they make
Chris,
a lot of surrealist comedy.
They make comedy, mm-hmm. and they make surrealist, improvised, are very quality but lowbrow humor, mm-hmm. and childish humor that really works. Childish humor that's cute, that hits. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Sure.
And it's very fast-paced. Mm-hmm. Very fast-paced, rapid-fire humor. I don't think of that when I think of Han Solo. So when they start saying it wasn't working, I wasn't one of those people who were like, man, why are you getting rid of these guys? I'm like, there's probably a reason why they're getting rid of them.
Sometimes it doesn't work. I mean, the more I keep reading new things about it, I think, Corey would have pulled him to his side and just say, like, y'all, I don't think we can do this.
Yeah, it ain't working. I've had to do that with people. So once you've been in that position, you know probably what direction this was going. And you're working on a movie where whether it's good or bad, no matter what you think about this system they have set up, they have a blueprint for success. They know the tone of these movies. They know where they want to take them. I have confidence in what they're doing. And if you're going in there and just being a hired hand, then that's what you do. You sure. know, I mean, it's. I'm sure you could put a little bit of your stamp on there, but
well, I'm sure it's tough if you come in and people are saying, "We love what you do. We just want you to do what you do." And you're like, "Well, all right then, let's do what we do." And they go like, "Well, maybe not exactly what you do. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of what we do.
Yeah,
maybe a lot of what we do.
Yeah,
just do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Just go home.
We'll get Ron Howard.
He listens.
Yeah, because Edgar Wright just came out and said what everybody was thinking. He said, "Yeah." When they came in and changed a scene or they shot something different, they changed the script without talking to me, he's like, I'm out. He's like, no disrespect, but if I can't make the movie I want to the way I want to a T, then I'm done.
Yeah, he got to where he was just going to like just hold it back from him and just wait till the last minute and then start doing it where they had no more time. And they were like, yeah, we're not letting you do that.
No, I totally, hey, it's a big corporate studio system, but sometimes they're right. And yeah. And everything that Disney has done and Marvel has done has, to lesser and greater degrees, proved to be right. And with this, what's so weird about Alden Ehrenreich? Mm-hmm. Is that his name?
Yeah.
They said that, yeah, it's normal to get acting coaches, but it's not typical to do it this late in the game. So that's what they're worried about. And now they're trying to figure out how they're going to get around reshoots and all this other stuff.
They're talking about the day getting pushed back for the movie now.
Yeah.
Like about 2019.
Yeah, and that's and I'm not here to talk trash. I feel that's his kid's career, you know.
Of course.
And to be in such a high profile thing like a Han Solo movie, like you said, have a microscope on you, and then people come out and say, "This bitch can't act." You know, it's that hurts, man. That hurts your career. Not just hurt feelings, but that hurts your career. And I you know what? I like the guy. I used to think that he had that Southern accent and everything that he would do, and I said, "Yeah, I don't understand how they're going to do this." But it wasn't a good movie. But I saw that the
El Caesar, Rules Don't Apply.
Rules Don't Apply.
Oh yeah,
Rules Don't Apply. And in that, I thought, okay, I think he can do this. And my biggest problem with him is not his acting; it's just his Han Solo. I just thought, like, he doesn't look like Han Solo to me. I always thought that he looked more like Carl Urban to me.
I thought that was Carl Urban for a second.
When you saw him?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he looks more like he's got a Carl Urban thing going on to me. Like, if you want to do Young Adventures of Judge Dredd or...
I wasn't thinking that at all. I mean, most of the time I just look at him and go like, okay, he's one of the failed clones of Leonardo DiCaprio.
That too.
But I just think his voice is very nasally as opposed to... Harrison Ford, which you're used to in Han Solo, and I was wondering how he'd pull that off.
Yeah,
we could have gotten Dane DeHaan as Han Solo.
Chewie, what are you doing? I'm your friend, Lando. Can't help out a friend.
Dane DeHaan.
But his question,
I'm sorry,
go ahead.
Do you think it's going to hurt the movie? Like, kind of like how I'm feeling like Ant-Man could have been better than what it was? Because, I mean, that was a matinee of a movie.
It was.
So do you think, like, we're kind of going to get the same thing with Han Solo? Like, this could have been, like, a really great thing, but because y'all got so many change-ups going, it might lesser the quality of the film?
That's a great question. And my first impulse answer is they can't afford to. Ant-Man, they can afford to do that with.
Mm-hmm.
But Han Solo... Nah, they can't release this thing until it's right. You can't do that to Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were doing, you couldn't even do that with what was his black friend with
Lando
Calrissian?
His black friend,
Harvey Dick. No,
now, you can't even do that with a Lando Calrissian, man. You can't do that with a Chewbacca movie. You know, these characters they're too huge for that.
They did it with a Darth Vader movie.
Yeah,
episodes 1-3.
They did it with the Darth Vader trilogy, where they found a way to fuck that all up.
But that was in different hands.
That's also true.
Yeah,
and they've learned.
Yeah,
that's one of those. This can never happen again.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. What do you feel, man?
Do you guys have a lot invested in this? Because truth be told, I'm not sure I do.
I don't.
Yeah.
If they decided, you know what, we're just not going to make it, I'd be like, okay, good.
Yeah, because I mean, Han Solo felt like a really complete character when you take all four of the movies he's in.
Yeah.
So I'm not really hankering to see more of him.
Yeah.
I like the character a lot, but I think he's had his time and he's done.
Well, and that was the thing with the Star Wars prequels. It was like, man, y'all just don't know when to leave it alone.
Right.
Like just mentioning that there was a Clone War, we got it.
Yeah.
There was no like, ooh, I want to see that. It's like, no, you mentioned it. I have envisioned one. And now we can go forward from there.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're going to spend a whole movie on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. You know, his question here kind of goes to what you're saying. And to what you're saying, too. He says, is the Star Wars cinematic universe in danger of becoming stale? Is the franchise becoming too focused on a singular vision rather than being open to many different stories and storytelling techniques? I think that this is why I think the Han Solo movie is important, which is why I think I want them to get it right. Because I think what their plan is to, because they're doing these anthologies.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue One was one. I thought Rogue One was a much better movie than Force Awakens. I'll tell you, I'm not a big fan of Force Awakens. I thought it was good. And, you know, that it was the first movie that was safe to get it back on track. That's the only reason why I excuse it.
Sure.
But to do these anthology movies and these spinoffs, I think what they're doing is they're trying to do it to expand the universe. They do it first in a safe area, the Death Star. Everybody knows that. Han Solo, people know him. And then we can start telling some other Star Wars stories and quit doing this thing. We're in a galaxy. We need to quit concentrating on these same characters.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the movies expand into actually showing us some different characters and different stories now. And that's the only reason why I'm rooting for this to succeed. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not doing it because I'm a huge Star Wars fan or anything. I just want to see other stories be told. And I love Rogue One so much that if they can do that with this,
but
then
it's
great.
Still a story from the past.
Yeah, and it's still a story about a character that we already know. Like, this isn't like somebody that popped up and like, oh, maybe I can learn more about him. It's like, no, I've spent three movies with Han Solo. I don't need to know four movies now. Yeah, I don't need to know anything else about him.
I agree with you. Han Solo, is it really necessary? No, but is it something that will get the anthologies and it's good faith with people,
mm-hmm,
and it's familiarity? Good from a business angle, yeah.
I want to see a Senator Organa movie.
I want movies about characters that you just saw briefly, but mm-hmm, but the ones that I love, like the dude that rode with Lando, the one that talked like me.
Oh,
yeah. I want that big lip motherfucker to have his own movie. But good question.
I mean, they gave the Ewoks their own show.
And
I like that
special
show, man. That cartoon, yeah. I like that Ewok show. But that, you know, I was a kid.
I was like Care Bears in space.
It was a badass Care Bears. That's why I liked it.
Like Q-Bert.
Nothing's gonna ever top Q-Bert. I'm not gonna apologize for loving the Q-Bert cartoon.
I'm not asking you to.
I stand firm on that.
I'm not asking you to.
I love my Q-Bert. Mm. You ain't gonna sway me no other way. I hear y'all talking shit on these shows.
I've never seen someone get so passionate about Q-Bert.
I tuned in one day and the first thing I saw was I heard was like, yeah, Coleman and Q-Bert. I was like, these motherfuckers, man.
let your truth come to light, man. Don't hide it. You love Q-Bert.
Just stating the truth.
You love Q-Bert.
I heard y'all the other day. Y'all played that Sonic shit. And it was a Sonic video where it's cartoon Sonic talking about how it's not right to touch people in the wrong way. And Gert's talking about somebody should show this to Coleman.
Yeah.
TJ's like, oh, they right. We'll do one more and then we're out. Man. I'm sad.
What I sent you.
Robbie Rotten.
I know.
I was just getting Man, Robbie Rotten, Lazy Town.
From Lazy Town.
Sorry, I don't know who that is either.
Man.
You're talking about the dude that sings that song like "We Are the Something." Yeah,
we are the something.
I don't. I was, first of all, I'm older than y'all, so I was not watching this shit.
Oh, Robbie Rotten, man, this is a man. Let me tell you why I got back. I used to love Lazy Town because it was just a weird show.
It was.
It was it was a show about health and exercise, and it was full of puppets with only three human beings running around, mm-hmm, and maybe some extra humans later on. But the human beings were made up to look like puppets. They had all those prosthetics on their faces.
Yeah, especially Robbie Rotten.
Yeah. And I got back into it because I started getting into that song, We're Number One.
There you go.
Yeah, man. Let me play this one. Let me tell you why. We're Number One, Lazy Town. And it's a weird song, too. But let me play this for you.
This ain't no Gullah Gullah Island.
But what is?
Yeah.
A lot
Gullah
of
Gullah Island.
Pinya, pinya. Yeah. Fuck that.
Okay, here it is. All right, let's see here.
Are you a real villain?
Well, technically, nah.
Have you ever caught a good guy like a real superhero?
Nah.
Have you ever tried a disguise?
Nah.
All right. I can see that I will have to teach you how to be villains.
Hey!
falsely. Here's a lesson in trickery. This is going down in history. If you want to be a villain number one, you have to chase a superhero on the run.
Man, the reason why I got into that is because now you're gonna appreciate this because you're rolling your eyes right now. But there was
I didn't roll my eyes.
Yeah, man, you had that look.
I turned slowly.
You had that good one face.
Man, I saw your face when you looked across the room. You're like, this dumb shit.
I looked at TJ. I was like, bruh, come on, this.
Yeah, I saw the
you
look.
Got that bruh face. That was it, bruh face.
But the reason why I got into it because they had a week where everybody was doing this trend of taking Redbone, and they said, what if Redbone sounded like this? And they did Redbone, we're number one. I was listening to my car, man. The shit went off. Let me see here. And, man, it's good. It's good. Don't judge me, man.
Too late.
Let me, here it is. Right here, man. Let me go ahead and put it on full screen so I can give it its proper respect. What Redbone would sound like if we were number one.
We're number one. We're number one. Here's a little lesson in trickery. This is going down in history. If you wanna be a villain number one, you have to chase a superhero on the run. Just follow the rules and sneak around. Be careful not to make a sound. Don't touch that.
You smell that shit, don't you, man?
I like it. It improves that song.
It does, actually.
And they put that sax in there?
Yeah.
I see why Gambino's retiring now.
Hey! I love this shit, man. Y'all okay, man. Don't even front. Y'all know that shit went off, man. And they got a whole bunch of them. Y'all can laugh all you want. Man, don't you even pull this shit. Out of all the crazy shit.
I don't ever want to hear you talk about my musical choices again. Never. I never want to hear you talk about my musical choices again.
No, here's the deal. If I had not played that for you, you would have discovered on your own. You would have been like, man, this
you gotta
shit
hear
is
it.
No, yes. This is like one of a billion of these. So
but
yeah,
that's the best one.
Okay.
Because I heard, man, I went on a whole... I went for an hour, like listening to all these Redbone covers, man. Mm. Like the one that Kermit the Frog did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kermit's creeping. I love it, man. Love it.
So he's dead.
What's that?
He's dead.
He's dying, man.
He's been dying for a while, though.
Yeah, he's.
What, do you want him to hurry up?
I thought you didn't know nothing about this.
No, I said it. That's why I thought I was confused about who it was, but I know he has like pancreatic cancer or something like that. So yeah, he's been dying for like two years.
They were doing some new treatments, and he had the GoFundMe, and I think that's all run out. And his wife is just like, okay, this is it. He's got maybe 5 days left. Mm.
5 days?
That sucks.
Oh man, that makes me sad. That makes me sad, especially since I just got back into it. But oh well.
Is that show still on?
No. That show was on like what, 14 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, when my kids were little, that's when I watched it.
Yeah. It's a weird show, man. But it's the weirdest thing about it was they had that little girl on the show.
Yeah.
And it got creepy because it got like the Olsen twins where people were counting down for her to be legal.
Jesus.
Yeah, which she is now, but and now nobody's interested. No, when she started, she was
not 18.
No,
she was not
wishful thinking on his part.
No.
He's like, damn, I jacked off to that.
Stephanie, very soon.
Sammy just revealed himself. Somebody said the DT curse, Corey killed him. Nah, cancer is killing him.
Yeah. We ain't got nothing on cancer.
No. Cancer's number one. So, sad news. I'm sorry you gave me that, Martin. That made me feel really upset.
Yeah, when he showed it to me, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. All right. We're gone, people. That is it. Thank you so much. I think that's all. That's all we have for tonight. Okay, people. We'll be back tomorrow. What's that? We'll talk about that tomorrow. I need to know the details before we do that. But did you wait a minute? Did you talk to Native?
No, you never said
inside. Oh, I did. You got it now. So we'll talk about it tomorrow. Yeah, we're trying to get excuse me, I'm all choked up. Yeah, we're trying to get Native to give you guys a discount on the hostels over there. But no.
Yeah,
what part of no do you not understand?
I think it's the no part.
Yeah, I think so. Or any part. Yeah, I said tomorrow.
Now?
We'll get it tomorrow.
Oh, I'm Marriott.
Shit.
Marriott.
Fuck.
So we're doing the show tomorrow and not Thursday?
We can do it Thursday if you want. What would you like to do? you know, Thursday would be better for me because, but here's the deal, man. Baby Driver comes out tomorrow.
Oh,
and that's why I thought, you know, I'll try to push it for tomorrow.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I can't do Thursday. Yeah.
All right, man, fine. We'll do it tomorrow.
All right, then. All right, everybody.
Fuck it.
Fucking do it. Let's do it.
We'll do it later.
All right, everybody. Let's go on out of here.
We'll do it Wednesday.
Let me see. I'm trying to think if I have any announcements to make. Oh, other than the anniversary party, August 4th through the 7th. Get your tickets now. PartyDT.com. That'll take you to the Eventbrite page where you can find out all the details. Video coming out tomorrow, a couple of videos about the contest, about the both contests, the video, the short video contest, the short film contest, the poster contest, and details on the party itself. But as I said, just go to partydt.com and it will tell you everything you need to know about the festivities coming up, and you can get your ticket there, $25, so you can have 72 hours of fun August 4th through the 7th. And what else do we have? Oh, go to DoubleToasted.com. Over there, we have our live streams, and when you watch a live stream, it's so much value added to that. Now, you can always go and check out a show you might have missed and go to the DT Vault and get all that audio and video that's collected up in there. But when you do watch a live stream, you can go in there and join us live on the show with an email, a phone call, or maybe even a Skype. Try the service out 7 days for free. If you don't like it, you can stop at any time. But keep that audio because it's free. We want you to have it. We want you to continue to have it. So go to SoundCloud where we have it archived for you there, or now on iTunes, so go check out over there. And if you just happen to be at home on a Saturday and you are on the Double Toasted site and you're saying, I got nothing to do, who can I hang with? Well, go over to the Midnight Chat Attack, 7:30 p.m. every Saturday night. They go to 12 a.m. Central Standard Time. And you can talk to them the regular way. You know, you can go in and type all your stuff out. But if you go over to YouTube, they have their live streaming show over there, where you can see all those beautiful faces behind all those ugly insults, the Midnight Chat Attack. I want to thank everybody for coming in. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. DeMarco, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
DeMarco looking like you too cool for this shit. The whole time Marco been over there. Fuck this show. Thought you were all about it, Mark. That's why I call you Marcus. DeMarco. You're like, that's why I hate you, because you get my fucking name right. Good to see you, though, brother. Now you becoming a regular up in here. Yeah. He's high as hell. Yeah. Is this the Dave Chappelle show?
But you good okay? to have the two of them back together again.
It is. Salt and pepper. Good to see y'all up in here, man. Yeah.
Pepper and adobo.
Joseph Compton. Good to see you, man. What brings you up in here this late?
I just had the night off.
Had the night off from what? Central Market. I heard that's a nice place, man. Get that discount. Yeah, all that fancy food up in there. You dating anybody?
No.
You know, the reason why I said that is because, you know what, that's a real nice place to go and get some good food and cook for a female. Your boy's out. Hey, he brought a girl up, a sister, brought a girl up in here. Your boy Neil.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
You're like, I know. I saw that shit.
He beat all the rest of
them. Yeah. You didn't have a first, did you?
What?
You didn't have a first, did you? Okay, because you sound like, I know, I had that shit already. But good to have you here, man. Good to see you. How's the brony stuff going?
Damn.
How's brony town? Denise, how you doing? Shut up. All right, y'all. We're getting out of here. Thank you. Thank everybody. Hey, thank you, Gertz.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, good one.
Hey.
Mm-hmm, Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm. And all of you out there. But before you go, hey, every time we do this show, we invite you to come in here and hang out with us. And we start out the easy way, the more convenient way for you to do it. for you to pull out that keyboard and type in for us, kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's K-C-O-O-L-M-A-N-Z @gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Now, if you'd like to be a part of the show, too late. We're done. But we got more shows coming up. More review extravaganza tomorrow, along with the high score coming up on Saturday. Yep. Sammy ain't seen shit. I keep forgetting. That's live now on Thursday.
Oh, that's right.
Independence Day is what he'll be doing. And more. And we start all over again on Saturday. And if you'd like to be a part of our shows, just email us, kcoolmans@gmail.com. In that email, put your phone number in there, put your Skype contact in there, press send. Bam! Up in your home, talking to the only host in the world that do them house calls. We're on that Instagram at Double Toasted fan page. On Facebook, type in Double Toasted. Want to spend some time with me? Corey.coma.5. I'm busy. Corey.
Find me on Facebook watching Gullah Gullah Island. Corey Goodwin. You can find me on Twitter or Twitch.tv. The High Score DT. All one word on Instagram, DB Cooper KG. Mr. Gertz.
Oh, hold on. Hold on, man. Since you want
to
get.
Oh, you about to play that red bone shit.
Put that Gullah Gullah in there. Nah, we're going to go out with respect to my did. Man. My man. No, we go now. Now you can talk.
Oh, okay. Yes, you can find me quoting Caesar on my shirt on Facebook, Patrick Gertz, Twitter, Patrick Gertz at P. Gertz, and on Instagram at P. Gertz, Cat Daddy Thomas.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoFro. Look for Martin Thomas on Facebook. And while you're there, check out the group, the Children of the Toast.
Or bring your ass down here and check us out in person in the Double Toasted World Famous Studios. Just email us at kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz@gmail.com. And you know how it is. If you're going to be visiting Austin, you're going to be moving to Austin because you visited it and you liked it that much, or you already live here and you didn't tell anybody. That is sneaky as hell. Don't be like that. Let us know. Come see a show. kcoolmans@gmail.com. And that is it. Had a great time with you guys tonight, but we got to go. So good night. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you are listening to or watching this, goodbye. And we're number one. Now stay toasty.